right, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. That means two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. You program the bumps every morning on the show. Different theme each morning. Today is two for Tuesday, so get your request in. It's a one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Coming up in just a little bit, in fact, after the 1:30 news, we'll be joined by writer Beverly Gray. She's written several books, the latest of which is called Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, which is all about the movie The Graduate. She also writes about movies on her blog, Beverly and Movie Land, and she's going to join us to talk about her recent blog posts and some of her some of the other stuff. She also worked for Roger Corman for years, infamous producer and director Roger Corman. So she's a great guest, and we'll talk to her in a little bit. Also, we're going to be talking about how supporting performances sometimes steal the show, and supporting characters on TV and in movies. Sometimes the stars aren't quite as awesome as some of the supporting characters, the smaller roles, the minor characters, and we're going to talk about that in TV and in movies, and talk about your favorite minor or supporting characters that steal the show. And I did not know this, but this is National Pizza Week. I thought every week was National Pizza Week. That's kind of the mindset that I've always had, that every week is National Pizza Week. But today, this week is National Pizza Week, and so we're going to talk about some pizza stuff, too, and open up the phone lines. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your Two for Tuesday requests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, but the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show, facebook.com/Nick D Show, and subscribe to our podcasts. Every second of every show is podcast, and you can subscribe. You go to WGNradio.com, check out all the podcasts there. You can go to iTunes or any place where you get your podcasts. Subscribe. It's free, and it will be automatically delivered to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So that's what's up this morning on this Tuesday morning. And let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shugru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
All right, man. How about yourself?
I'm all right. It's a two for Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all the requests are flying in. Think about some supporting minor characters who steal the show.
Will do.
There's a ton of them, though.
Yeah.
That's a fun topic.
Absolutely.
By the way, I was telling you in the car what made me think of this topic, and we could have fun with it, was witnessing the New Jersey Devils beat the crap out of the Hawks last night. What a ridiculous game.
Mm.
By the way, we'll play the Blackhawks Express back. I think it's approximately 27 minutes long because the final was 8-5. So I would guess we should start playing it at around 4:30. I think that would be, you know, and then it might end by the end of the show. But anyways, it was a ridiculous game. And in the second period, within 12 and a half minutes, the Devils scored 5 unanswered goals. It was ridiculous. And going into the third period, it was 6-1 and ended up being 8-5 was the final. But anyway, as I was watching the Devils, you know, beating the crap out of the Hawks, I thought of the episode of Seinfeld where Putty has his face painted, the face painter episode, and he's a Devils fan. The Devil, we're the Devils. And then I was thinking, Putty, man, that's a funny character. And that's what I was thinking. Oh,
there,
supporting minor characters that steal the show. And there are a lot of characters on Seinfeld that do that.
Sure.
There are a lot of great minor characters. So that's the direction we're going in, like the putties of TV, of TV shows and movies and stuff like that. So supporting characters that just steal the show. We'll do that a little bit later on. In the newsroom is Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Hey, good morning, sir.
How are you?
Doing very well.
Oh, all right.
I'd like you to know you have a fan in Norway.
In Norway?
Yeah, he emailed the station and your listeners, and he wanted us to know that he was able to pick up the signal. He was DXing and trying to hear radio signals from long distances. It's his hobby. He's 76 years old. He's been doing this for like 50 years. Anyway, he picked us up. It's staticky.
Yeah.
But he sent us in the MP3 file. It was me doing the news on your show.
Wow.
He lives in Halden, Norway, which is about 2 miles from the border with Sweden. But anyway, yeah, interesting.
Well, that's awesome. That's really great. That's really great. That's fantastic that they can actually pick it up like that.
Right.
You know, because you would think, I mean, I know a lot of people listen around the world who, you know, who listen to the streaming, you know, you can listen online or whatever. But to hear that it's actually, you know, celestial radio right there, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
And having people listen all the way from Norway.
All the way from Norway.
That's fantastic. Well, I appreciate that. That's awesome. All right. So, yeah, and we're here, and also, you know, the Blackhawks Express will be coming up a little bit later on. I will say this, though. Kaner's having a hell of a year. Last night was his fifth multi-point game in a row. He had two goals and an assist last night. And he's playing the game. Not many other people on the team are. And it's been very frustrating. Very, very frustrating. This season has been just like really aggravating. But man, Kaner is playing. He's playing great hockey. I just wish everybody else on the team could step up. But anyway, by the time the fifth goal was scored in a row in the second period, I was like, what am I doing? So frustrating, man. So anyway. All right. Hey, let's take a break. And when we come back, I have some myths about frozen food that everybody needs to stop believing. We are going to debunk some frozen food myths. So that's going to be coming up. And then, of course, after 1:30, Beverly Gray is going to join us just to talk Hollywood and movies and stuff like that. Hear all of this on WGN. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. Coming up after the 1:30 news, Beverly Gray is going to join us. She is the author of several books, including Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, How the Graduate Became the Touchstone of a Generation. She also writes about movies on her blog, Beverly in Movie Land. And she's going to talk to us after the news at 1:30. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And for your Two for Tuesday, you're my Two for Tuesday. Request one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Okay. Dan, do you purchase frozen foods?
We do.
Yeah, so do I. I just went to grocery shopping yesterday morning with the folks and purchased some frozen food. We do have myths about frozen food here. And this was in My Recipes. My Recipes is a website, myrecipes.com?
Yeah, it's a website of recipes, but also kind of surrounding food stories and things like that, yeah.
Okay, myth number one, fresh food is healthier than frozen food. That's right, frozen food is just as, and in some cases, more nutritious than fresh varieties. Fresh food is often picked before the fruit or vegetable is ripe, then packaged, shipped, and stocked. The time from harvesting to your plate could be days, even more than a week. During that time, the food loses nutrients. In fact, fresh foods typically lose most of their nutrients, vitamins and minerals in particular, in the 3 days post-picking. Frozen foods, however, are harvested at peak ripeness and flash frozen within hours. A 2013 University of Georgia study looked at the level of nutrients in fresh and frozen food at the time of purchase and 5 days later. The day they were purchased, both fresh frozen and fresh foods are nutritionally similar. After 5 days in the fridge, the fresh has less vitamin A, vitamin C, than frozen. Myth number two, all frozen food is high in sodium. You would be forgiven if you assume that this is true. After all, a decade or more ago, many frozen foods were not the picture of healthy meals. However, today, many food manufacturers are working to meet the demands of health-conscious consumers. That means they're creating lots of low-calorie, low-sodium foods that are filled with vegetables, grains, and lean proteins. Scan nutritional labels, and you may find many sodium levels near 650 milligrams, a reasonable amount for a frozen meal. Read the label, too. So, there you go. Myth number three, refreezing previously frozen food is bad. Change your mind about dinner after thawing that pork tenderloin? That's okay. You likely can refreeze foods you thawed, that is, if you thawed them properly in the first place. Frozen foods that were thawed in the fridge and not on the counter can be returned to the freezer. However, if you thawed the food on the counter, a serious no-no, the food cannot be returned to the freezer safely. In fact, you might want to consider throwing it out entirely. when the food sits out in the danger zone, which is 40 degrees Fahrenheit to 140 degrees Fahrenheit for more than 2 hours, it's a bacteria bonanza. At this temperature, bacteria grow rapidly. That could leave you sick in any number of ways. One thing to consider, refreezing sometimes compromises the texture and flavor. It's not ideal to give your frozen food a second run, but it is safe if you've thawed it properly in the first place. So you're not supposed to thaw it on the... Man, you know, when I was a kid, we used to thaw it in the sink, in the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Kitchen sink.
There's a whole bunch of those now that it's like we did when we were younger decades ago. Like, you're not supposed to wash chicken at all.
And yeah.
Like, I mean, I remember vividly everybody washing chicken in the sink and things like that.
Right, right. Yeah, but we used to thaw, my mom used to thaw stuff in the kitchen sink all the time. Oh, man. Well, it was the 70s. Everybody had bacteria in them. Just went with the territory. That was part of the decade. You lived through the 70s, you lived through having bacteria in your body every single day of the decade. Myth number four, frozen food expires. If you've been horrified to find frozen corn or strawberries from your high school days in your parents' freezer, you shouldn't be. Truly, food can be saved indefinitely as long as it's stored at zero degrees Fahrenheit or below the entire time. And that's according to foodsafety.gov. However, most people aren't great at storing foods in the freezer properly, so there is a window of time during which food is at its highest quality. Foodsafety.gov offers a list of recommended times for the refrigerator and freezer. Here's another myth, number five. You can't freeze eggs. You can't freeze whole eggs, that's true. The shell will likely crack as the egg expands during the freezing process. That will leave you with quite a mess when it thaws. But you can freeze eggs if you purchased too many or your backyard hen is too prolific for your family's appetite. Crack the eggs, beat the yolk and whites together, and then freeze them for future use. Do you need egg yolks for a sauce, but you want to save the white for another time? You can freeze them easily. But if you're left with yolks after an angel food cake, you have a smaller window of time. Egg yolks don't freeze well. The texture never quite returns to normal. Though it is perfectly safe if you decide to do it anyway. You ever freeze an egg?
I have never frozen an egg.
I've never frozen an egg either. Obviously not in the shell or anything. I go through eggs. I mean, I don't get eggs a lot, but when I do, I go through them quickly. So, you know. Myth number six, frozen food is more expensive. Is a potato or two cheaper than a package of frozen mashed potatoes or French fries? Likely. There is a markup for the prep and freezing process, but frozen foods can be a budget-savvy way to eat healthy, eat foods, quick dinners, without forking out the big bucks for out-of-season produce or restaurant meals. In winter, frozen fruit is likely cheaper than fresh, pound for pound. The same is true for winter squashes in the summer. Plus, as mentioned before, they're likely much healthier because they're flash frozen in season just hours after being picked. Packaged frozen dinners are often much healthier and much cheaper than takeout or delivery. Save yourself the dollars and the calories and stock up on a family favorite freezer meal for the nights when dinner is just too difficult. That's true. You can get those instead of ordering takeout, frozen dinners are cheap, man. They're real cheap. Especially which ones that are always like a buck? Banquet. The classic banquet with the three compartments, you know?
Sure.
You got your veg, you got your potato, and then you got whatever, you know, your protein is. And those are always really cheap, the classic old banquet. You can go with that. Have a few of those in the freezer.
The other one I remember was Marie Callender, is that right?
Marie Callender is, yeah. Marie Callender.
Primarily pot pies.
Yes. And good ones too. That Marie Callender is—they make the pot pies are fantastic. Marie Callender's pot pies are fantastic. They're not real cheap though. They're not as cheap as the banquet, but the quality of Marie Callender's, the pot pies in particular, really is really good. It's good stuff. Myth number seven: freezing food kills bacteria. Bacteria is most active between 40 degrees Fahrenheit, 140 degrees Fahrenheit, but it doesn't die below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Instead, it becomes inactive. The colder temps don't eliminate the risk of any bacteria that might be present, might have been present when you popped the food into the freezer. Food safety issues still apply when you're when you're packing foods for the freezer, wash your hands, use clean surfaces, and try not to cross-contaminate between surfaces to keep your food safe now for the future. And then keep food safe from bacterial grow when you thaw them, too, by defrosting them in the freezer and not on the counter or the sink. Myth number 8, all frozen food is highly processed. Once upon a time, this might have been very true. Today, however, you can find healthy choices that are minimally processed and close to their natural state, hiding out in the frozen section. Read food labels before you purchase them. Look for any unnecessary preservatives or additives, and put it back if you find them. Enough natural food companies have innovated ways to freeze their foods without those unnecessary ingredients. Freezing it itself is a preservation technique, so you can find healthy, minimally processed foods if you look. Myth number 9, it's too late to freeze by sell-by date. Sell-by or use-by aren't on-off switches for your food. They don't turn bad like a pumpkin at the stroke of midnight. Instead, they're dates that let grocery store stockers know it's time to rotate your inventory or mark it down for a quick sell. If your food reaches either of these dates before you had a chance to eat it, you can freeze it. Of course, the sell-by date often means that the food will be the best quality then. Freezing it later may reduce the quality, but it's perfectly safe to freeze and eat it later. Just be sure to make sure that it's proper storage. And finally, packaged foods can go straight into the freezer. It's myth number 10. Most foods you buy at a grocery store aren't meant for fresh consumption, not frozen. Are meant for fresh consumption, not frozen storage. If you plan to put them in your freezer for later, you need to prepare with proper storage techniques. Meat wrapper, for instance. Let a bit of air into the package. If you freeze meat in those wrappers, you invite bacteria and the air into your packages, which will quickly deteriorate the quality of your food when it thaws. Instead, unpackage and rewrap everything you plan to freeze in freezer-safe bags or wraps. Get as much air out of the package as possible before you put it in the freezer. Air is the enemy of the long, cold storage. If you're freezing vegetables, you need to add an extra step to the process. Blanch the plant foods before you freeze them. Be sure to thoroughly dry them as well. Water on the skin of vegetables invites bacteria, freezer burn, and sogginess when it thaws. And go ahead and wash the fruit before you freeze it, too. Fruit may be too soft to wash when it thaws, but you want to make sure it's clean before you eat it. So there you go. Some frozen food myths. Most of those are myths that I've heard many, many, many times. But, yeah, and the whole throwing something in the freezer in a package, that I knew not to do that. You know what I mean? That's, you know, if you're gonna freeze, you know, like meat or something like that, you want to wrap it up in a different package. But that I knew of. I didn't know the tip on freezing eggs, though.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah. Just crack the eggs, mix it up. Throw it in the freezer.
There you go. When you worked at the Jewels, did you ever have to stock the freezer aisle?
Yes.
Did you have to wear gloves or anything?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah, I mean, because that's well, pretty constant exposure, pretty cold temperature.
It is. Yeah. No, I used to work dairy. Frozen was right next to dairy, and on weekends I would cover both. If I'd work on the weekends, I would cover both dairy and frozen. On weekdays, I would just cover dairy because we had a frozen manager as well, but. Yeah, stocking the frozen section, you wear gloves, and there's this thing that people do at grocery stores. Are you familiar with the term facing?
Where you make sure the face of the product is out.
Well, it's that. It's more than that. It's bringing everything in the aisle shelves to the edge so it looks full. That's what facing is. You pull it all to the edge so it looks, even if it's not, it looks full, and people just do. You know, they do an entire shift where they face the entire store. Stocking the frozen was a little crazy with the gloves, but facing it was even worse because you had to, like, dig in there. You're in there constantly. So anytime somebody has to face the frozen aisle, it's not fun. It's not fun, and you have to wear gloves. So anyway. All right, frozen food. Enjoy. Let's take a break. The news is coming up, and then Beverly Gray will join us right after that. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here till 5 o'clock. It's Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to be talking about supporting characters and supporting actors and actresses who just have stolen the show. In TV and in movies, minor characters that become much more than minor. It's National Pizza Week, and we're going to cover that, too. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Nick D Show, and you can follow us on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay, my guest right now has been on the show many times. She's great. Beverly Gray is her name. She's written several books. She's worked in the entertainment industry for a long time. Used to work for Roger Corman. In fact, wrote a terrific book about Roger Corman and the time that she worked with him. She's written several books, and her latest is Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, How the Graduate Became the Touchstone of a Generation. We had her on to talk about that terrific book as well. And she writes about movies on her blog, Beverly and Movie Land. And you can check out beverlygray.com for more information, G-R-A-Y, beverlygray.com. And it's always a lot of fun to just chat with Beverly about movies and that kind of stuff in general. And let's welcome Beverly back to the show. Beverly, welcome back.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
All right. I understand.
Actually, I was in your city today. I've been traveling back from Florida by way of Chicago to L.A., which is weird, but that's what I did.
So you were just in a layover? You had a layover here?
Yeah, about an hour layover.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the airport.
Oh, it was wonderful. Well, I actually kind of like the Chicago airport. At least I like that sort of Wizard of Oz part where you walk.
Right.
Yes, so I was in your city.
Yeah. So now you said that you were coming back from Florida. What were you doing in Florida?
Actually, I was speaking at a film festival about my Seduced by Mrs. Robinson book. And so I went from Florida, where everyone was walking around in shorts, to Chicago, where everybody was walking around in parkas.
Yeah.
And now I'm back in L.A., where it actually has been raining.
It's been raining. I know. I was shocked to see that they were actually getting rain in Southern California.
Exactly.
Yeah, incredible. Well, Beverly, tell everybody how you got started in the business real quick. Just a quick rundown.
Okay, well, it was a surprise to me. I was in graduate school studying 20th century American literature and very literary kinds of people like Vladimir Nabokov. And a man named Roger Corman called up looking for an assistant. And because I'd been writing movie reviews for fun for this school paper, the UCLA Daily Bruin, Roger Corman hired me to work on B-movies. So he used to give me credit for thinking up the ending of Death Race 2000, and I worked on Big Bad Mama with Angie Dickinson and Cockfighter with Warren Oates and all sorts of interesting movies back in the early days of Roger Corman's New World Pictures, and then returned to make many, many, many monster movies, kickboxing movies, horror movies, and even the occasional family movie for Roger at Concord New Horizons.
And that was an incredible experience, which you put down in a book called Roger Corman, Blood-Sucking Vampires, Flesh-Eating Cockroaches, and Driller Killers.
Right. It's a very tasteful title, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. So you've been in the business, working in the business, and you love to write about movies and talk about movies, so we thought we'd have you on. Did you watch the Golden Globes, Beverly?
You know, I didn't watch them. I certainly read all about them, but I've seen most of the movies that are being talked about now, so I'm at least semi-prepared to talk to you.
The piece that you wrote about trying not to yawn on Beale Street, tell me a little bit about why that was written. You know, it has something to do with the Golden Globes, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had heard good things about it, and certainly good things about the performance of Regina King, and really wanted to catch up with this movie, was interested in the turning of a James Baldwin story into a film, and I really wanted to like it. But I didn't like it as well as I had hoped to, because it is long and slow, and I think the problem that always enters in when you're taking a novel, something with a lot of meat to it, and trying to transform it into a 2-hour screen experience is you can't get it all in there. So there are elements of the plot that just don't quite make sense or that don't get followed up on. And that was one of the things that drove me crazy about that film. For example, early on, there's a scene where, I don't want to give anything away, but I guess I will. The young couple discover that she's pregnant, mm-hmm. and her family, including her mother, Regina King, are really supportive and encouraging, and they know that this is true love, and they're really rooting for this young couple. And the other family comes over, the boy's parents, and the mother is just hideous and horrible and blames the girl family for everything. She's unpleasant, she's nasty, she's mean, and you get kind of interested in the dynamics of these two families, and then you never see her again.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing drives me crazy, because I suspect that there was a lot more to that strand of the story, and it just gets lopped off. So that's the kind of thing that frustrates me.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting, Beverly? I agree with you about If Beale Street Could Talk, and you and I are in the minority. This thing is getting amazing reviews. It's on people's top 10 lists at the end of the year. There's a lot of Oscar buzz for it, but I tend to agree with you. I did not include it on my best of list this year.
Yeah, yeah. And even Regina King's big scene, and everyone agrees that this is the scene that, you know, is getting her all of the attention, is a scene that, in the context of the movie, you can't quite sort out why she's doing what she's doing. And it's a dramatic scene, but the logic of it isn't something you can quite follow.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there are some really, without giving anything too important away, before she has this confrontation, there is a whole little episode where she's trying on a wig and she's worrying about makeup and she's doing all these things. And again, you just, given the way the scene transpires, you can't figure out why she's doing all that and who she's talking to and why that's in the movie in that way.
Yeah.
So I find this frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah,
particularly when it comes to the writing awards, I don't like to see movies being rewarded when they're dead ends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wasn't crazy about Moonlight either. I'm not a big fan of what Barry Jenkins does or his style. I find it a little bit. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. But I'm glad that I have someone else who feels that way, because I thought I was the only person on the planet who didn't go crazy over this movie. But
yeah, well, I was not a total fan of Moonlight, although I could see some that it was an interesting movie and that he certainly had a sense of the life in a particular cultural place and time. But of course, that movie introduced us to Mahershala Ali,
oh, yeah.
who I've come to think can do just about anything. But I actually saw Green Book over the last few days, and I just don't. It's not his acting; it's, I think, the writing. I just don't buy the way this person's characterized.
Mm.
The formality of the speech. Nobody talks that way, and it just. I felt he had the hard job of trying to be a character who, as written, doesn't seem like a human being.
Mm. See, now that one I really liked. I really enjoyed Green Book, because I thought the chemistry between him and Viggo Mortensen, watching those two guys play off of each other, I thought was a real treat, because they're both such great actors, and I really loved watching them spar together in those scenes. It was really.
I think as he kind of came alive, and of course you know it's going to happen that this stiff guy is going to loosen up.
Right.
Yeah, and I thought Viggo Mortensen was really, really good, and maybe I'm too gullible in buying a particular kind of Italian stereotype, but
right.
for me, he seems very genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, that was my father's favorite movie of 2018 was Green Book, and
really,
he comes from Italian background, and he's He was in 1962. He would have been a little bit younger than the Viggo Mortensen character. He would have been younger than the Viggo Mortensen character. But that whole time period, he remembers, and all of the guys in the family and Viggo's family, and all the guys he hangs out with. My dad was just beside himself while watching it because he recognized every single one of those guys.
Yeah, that aspect of the film I really liked, and you knew where it was going to go, but once they warmed up to each other, there was some nice stuff in there.
Yeah,
but just the fancy dialogue that Ali was required to speak, it just I just didn't buy it.
Mm, okay, now you spent some time in Cuba recently.
I did.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that, and you wrote a little bit about it too.
Yeah. Well, Cuba was, I must say, not a work trip. It was a fun trip, but it was wonderful and very interesting culture. They love American movies, don't always love America, although to some extent they do, but they love all the American oldies. In the first city we stayed in, which was a small city whose name suddenly, Camaway, it was called, right where our hotel was, down that street, there was a kind of a film center, and all the little businesses and all the little restaurants, everything had a kind of a film motif. You know, there was the Casablanca Cafe, and there were pictures of Bogart, and there were pictures of Edward G. Robinson, and they love the old stars, but they love new movies, too, and they can get them, although through sort of devious means. Apparently, everybody in Cuba is very good at devious means. There's something called the packet, and everybody talks about it quite openly, that once a month or so, somebody makes available a memory stick with the latest of movies on it, because somehow the movie Bohemian Rhapsody was mentioned at one point, and they said, oh, that hasn't come in on the packet yet.
Uh-huh.
So, but they'll get it. They'll end fairly soon, too.
Wow. It's interesting. Really interesting stuff. Hang on, okay, Beverly?
Sure.
All right, Beverly Gray is with us, and you can check out her blog, Beverly in Movie Land. And beverlygray.com is her website. She's got several books, and her latest is Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, which is all about the movie The Graduate, and it's a terrific book. We're going to talk more with Beverly right after we take this break here on 720 WGN. And welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran coming up at 6 for your morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right, let's get back to our conversation. Beverly Gray is my guest. She is a writer, has written several books. She also writes about movies on her blog, Beverly in Movie Land, has been working in the movie business for a while, used to work for Roger Corman, has a lot of great stories about that. And she's, writes a lot of great stuff on her blog, and we're just having a little chat with Beverly. We'd like to have her on. Beverly, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back.
All right. You wrote about my favorite movie of 2018. My number one movie of 2018 is Roma. Which I just thought was an extraordinary piece of work.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's not a Hollywood movie, but it's a wonderful movie. It's really a movie that kind of really got to me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did. I mean, I've seen it three times, and it's a beautiful piece of work. It's a devastating piece of work. It is, I mean, visually amazing. Alfonso Cuarón, you know, not only directed it, he edited it, he shot it, he wrote it, he did, I mean, everything. It's an incredibly personal film from him, and I was just really, really impressed with it. I think I've said this, you know, about this movie recently, because we were talking about our favorite movies of the year, and I said, Roma is the reason why I go to movies. This is the reason why.
It will be interesting to see how it does with the various award shows, and particularly with the Oscars, because Cuarón has become a Hollywood person, but this is not a Hollywood movie, not in its style. Of course, it's a foreign language film. And I've heard people complain about it and say it's really not about much, but I think it's about a tremendous amount within a very quiet and intimate framework.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And I think it was a unique, way to tell the story through not, because he could have told the story through, you know, one of the kids who'd represent him, because it's about, it's basically, it's a reminiscent, he's reminiscing about his childhood in Mexico in the 70s. And
we should say his housekeeper or nanny, she's kind of in many ways the central figure in the life of these kids.
Yeah. Yes. And I thought it was a really, I thought that was a really interesting way to tell the story. You know what I mean? To have her be the center of the story and not, you know, the kid that would represent him.
Yeah.
And the performances are all so good, and it's so and I love really beautifully shot films that are in black and white. And I know that sometimes is a turnoff for modern audiences; they don't like black and white films. But this is just such a gorgeous looking movie, and the black and white photography is just really beautiful.
And one thing that struck me, and I don't usually, I mean, I don't watch technically in the way people might who are experts in certain areas, but I was really struck by the sound design. I was always hearing the noises of the city all around, and I don't remember feeling that so intently on other movies.
Yeah, no, everything about the movie is really wonderful, and I think it's an interesting, it was an interesting release strategy for to go through Netflix. But this is a movie, that demands to be seen on the big screen. So if there is a theater or two showing it in anybody's area out there, they showed it at the Music Box. Here, our great theater, the Music Box, in 70mm, which is the correct way to see it. And I know it's available on Netflix, and it's very convenient to watch it that way. And if that's the only way you can watch it, you should watch it because it's a great film. But to really, really experience it, I think one needs to see it on the big screen.
Well, the Landmark Theater, that's my go-to place to see movies, along with the big auditoriums. They've got a couple of sort of couch theaters where you can kind of curl up on a sofa, and there's not that many people in there with you, and I kind of like that for that film. It's just because it is such an intimate, personal family story. So you were seeing it on a good-sized screen, but not in a vast kind of arena.
Yeah, no, and it's but it is a really beautiful film, and also quite intimate too, and that really. That really is. It's just a great film, and I'm glad you wrote about it, and I'm glad you liked it.
And you know, I don't know your experiences in Chicago may be quite different from mine, but I have known a few women who, just in their manner, you know, people who are immigrants from Mexico or from Guatemala who have kind of really made a life out of being the go-to person in someone else's family and. You know, caregivers, and I thought of those people when I saw this film. This is a woman who, you know, for better or worse, and in many ways for better, this is her life, is being the central person in someone else's family.
Right. It's great. It's great stuff. Also, you know, you write a lot of varying things on your blog, Beverly and Movie Land. You wrote about Bob Fosse, and it's interesting. In just a couple of months, we're going to get to see Sam Rockwell play Bob Fosse and Michelle Williams play Gwen Verdon in the FX TV show, which I'm very, very excited about. And you wrote about Bob Fosse, and I happen to be a big fan of Bob Fosse. Tell everybody about the piece you wrote.
Okay. This piece is based on a book, a very good biography of Bob Fosse, and I'm suddenly blanking on the name of the author of the book. But it gave me a chance to go back and watch All That Jazz again, which is Bob Fosse really kind of directing the life of Bob Fosse as only he can.
Yeah.
He was a strange, brilliant, troubled, complicated guy who almost posited in the film of All That Jazz that he was kind of living on the edge and almost with a death wish. I mean, this guy was kind of killing himself in the way he lived, but also doing brilliant things. And Roy Scheider plays him in the movie. It's amazing because Roy Scheider is not a dancer, but somehow managed to be Bob Fosse, who, of course, was a dancer before he became a great, great choreographer and director.
Yeah. And I love All That Jazz. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And I think it, and I remember... You know, when it first came out, and thinking to myself, boy, Roy Scheider is going to play this role? Because it seemed like it's such an odd piece of casting, but he's terrific in it. He got an Oscar nomination for it as well.
Yeah, a well-deserved Oscar nomination. And, yeah. And the other thing that struck me, because I hadn't really thought about it, was Bob Fosse having hung up his dancing shoes long since, because you can see him in old movies like Kiss Me, Kate. Mm-hmm. But then he came back to dance a role. They made an odd little arty film on the children's book, The Little Prince, mm-hmm. With this charming little blonde boy, and Bob Fosse played the snake. Mm-hmm. And there's a musical number called The Snake in the Grass. On the blog, I put a YouTube clip from that and realized, or the book helps me realize, that when you see the style of dance that Michael Jackson used, it is Bob Fosse all the way, just the kind of angular style, the way he uses his limbs is really interesting and effective, and he's a great snake.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, he was an amazing person, and he did end up directing not only all that jazz, but he did, as you mentioned, he did Lenny, he did Star 80,
but Cabaret. Let's not forget.
And of course, Cabaret. Yes, of course, Cabaret. He was an amazing artist and started out as a great dancer. And it's a nice piece that you wrote inspired by that book, Beverly.
Thank you very, very much.
All right. Beverly, always a pleasure. And people can read your blog, Beverly in Movie Land, at beverlygray.com. And your books are available as well. And I highly recommend them. And your latest one is Seduced by Mrs. Robinson, which is a terrific book.
Yes. Thank you so much. And I hope we can talk as the Oscars get closer.
Yes,
I'm
let's
sure
do
I'll
that.
Have some opinion.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Beverly.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Beverly Gray, everybody. She's great. And we'll have her on right around Oscar time to get her thoughts on that. All right. We'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday is beginning. Yeah, man. Two for Tuesday. That's 312-981-7200. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 630 area code requesting Atlanta Rhythm Section with Sky High. Ooh. It's a bit of a deep cut for the Atlanta Rhythm Section. They had a couple of hits, though. Yeah. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio here. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive on this Tuesday morning. So as I was watching the Hawks get demolished by the New Jersey Devils last night, and we will have the Blackhawks Express later on, I was thinking of the episode of Seinfeld where David Putty is a face painter, and he happens to be like a maniac New Jersey Devils fan, and that's I was trying to get my mind off of things while watching the game. After the fifth goal in a row in the second period by the Devils in like 12 and a half minutes. So I was thinking of David Putty. And David Putty is one of those supporting characters on TV that steals the show. He's hilarious. Putty is hilarious. Patrick Warburton. Is the actor? He was on that show Rules of Engagement, right? And also the Tick. He was on the reboot of the Tick. By the way, that's the animated version of the Tick, because there's been two live action versions of the Tick. There's the Patrick Warburton version, and then I always forget the British actor's name. He was Simon Pegg's roommate in Shaun of the Dead. He's the guy, get your life sorted out. He's the one who got bit on the hand and he turns into a zombie.
Peter Serafinowicz.
Yeah, Serafinowicz. Yeah, he's that. I knew I forgot his name because it was like I remember it was a really long, complicated name. But that guy's awesome. But the original. Did you ever watch the animated Tick?
I did when I was, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so good. It was so funny. But anyway, so Putty is one of those characters that steals the show. And I think Seinfeld is a good example of has a good example of a bunch of characters, a bunch of side characters or supporting minor characters that really rock and that really steal the show pretty frequently. And Putty's definitely one of them. Just that blank. I just my favorite thing about Putty is just that stupid blank stare, like he's just sitting on the couch staring at nothing, and then the phone rings and he picks it up. But for like 20 seconds, all you see is just blank Putty sitting on the. And then when Elaine and him are on the flight, and they're coming back home, and she gets really upset with him because he's not reading anything, he's not eating, he's not sleeping, he's just sitting in the seat, blankly staring forward. Hilarious. So that's the idea. Who are some of the best minor characters that have stolen the show? Supporting characters or supporting roles. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We want to jump in on this one because sometimes the supporting or the minor characters just kick butt and are awesome and kind of sometimes outshine the stars. And I got plenty more examples from Seinfeld that we can go through, but Putty was the first one I thought of as I was watching the Devils beat up the Hawks last night. 312-981-7200. What do you think? 312-981-7200. Dan, what do you got? Did anything pop into your head?
I don't know if it's a good one, but I was of the age when Family Matters was, very popular. So the Urkel was an interesting phenomenon to live through and watch, seeing how that show evolved with him and that character and how the crazy ways they try to keep it going and change things and put new spins on it. The rap and the serials and the dance and all that stuff is insane.
He took over the show. I mean, he was just supposed to be, like a minor character that would come in and that was it. Then the show revolved around him. Did you ever see the Key and Peele sketch where Jordan Peele plays Reginald Val Johnson, and he comes into the office. Keegan-Michael Key plays one of the producers who's like doing blow at his desk, and he comes in, and he's playing Reginald Val Johnson, and he goes off on how Urkel has taken over the show. Have you ever seen that sketch?
I have not.
Oh, it's hysterical. It's really hilarious. But yeah, he was not supposed to, but he became a phenomenon. That character. You know, the same thing happened years earlier. You know, Fonzie was supposed to just be, and this is another one of these, another great example of a minor character who took over. But Fonzie was just supposed to be in like one scene, and in each episode, or maybe one or two short scenes in each episode, and he was, didn't have a lot of dialogue and everything. But and then at some point, Fonzie became the focal point of the show. The character became so popular, and Henry Winkler was so good that that he became, that was it. They changed the focus of the show. And Henry Winkler in interviews said, I don't know why the character resonated so deeply with people and they loved him so much, but he's like, I'm grateful for it. But that Fonzie started out as just a minor character. And then he became, Fonzie. And the same thing happened with Urkel. Urkel was just like this goofy little character. Here's a little, actually, there's a little piece they wrote about Fonzie. Henry Winkler's cool cat character, Arthur Fonzarelli on Happy Days, began life on the show as a fringe character, featured on the sidelines, never really getting any storylines, but he very rapidly became the most popular character and subsequently the central focus of the show. Winkler's name was quickly moved up to the ranks to second billing. The network executives wanted to bill his name first, but he refused to be named above Ron Howard, the show's true star, in the more traditional sense. At one point, those same executives wanted to rename the entire show and call it Fonzie's Happy Days in an attempt to drum up even more popularity. That's how huge this character was. He carried the whole show on his shoulders. Could you imagine they just suddenly change it to Fonzie's Happy Days? That's pretty classy of Henry Winkler, to not take the billing away from Ron Howard, the top billing away from Ron Howard. A lot of actors wouldn't do that. That's why everybody loves Henry Winkler. Everybody who doesn't love Henry Winkler? You know, and this in this second life that he has now, I mean, he was great on Arrested Development. There's another character. Oh, man, that's another show that has like 800 fringe characters that are fantastic. And some of them are listed in this article that I have. But he was fantastic on Arrested Development, Henry Winkler. But this character that he plays in Barry is so great, you know, and he's getting so much recognition for it, and deservedly so. But then, like, off screen, you know, you see him on interviews, he's like the sweetest guy in the world. Who doesn't love Henry Winkler? How do you not love Henry Winkler? And then, so the Urkel story that they have here, Urkel was only supposed to appear on Family Matters once in its first. Oh, I didn't know that. He was only supposed to be on it once.
I didn't know that either.
And it was in its first season, and that was it. He was supposed to be a one-off, and then he would have disappeared into the ether forever. But he proved to be so popular that he was promoted to series regular by season two and went on to become the main character of the show. Now you can't think about Family Matters without thinking about Urkel, and "Did I do that?" is one of the most iconic sitcom catchphrases of all time. Urkel is a classic geek. What with the huge, thick-rimmed glasses, the suspenders, the flood pants, the cardigan sweaters, and he's desperately in love with a girl who doesn't love him back. We can all relate to Urkel's plight in some way or another. So, yeah, he certainly was a phenomenon. There's no question about it. Now, here's one, Dan, that you can probably talk about. Ben Linus from Lost.
Yes.
Did he really sort of like take over? Or was it?
Yeah, you know, it was the type of situation from all accounts that he was just going to be like a three episode character, and at one point became the major villain on the show for multiple seasons, and then towards the end of the show became one of the major good guys for a couple of seasons. Mm. So it was one of those situations where it was definitely. Kind of the same kind of scene stealing thing where he came on for, you know, the three episode arc and really, you know, was chilling in his role. And then people just latched onto it and he became a huge part of the show from then on out.
I was when I watched Lost, and I think I lasted, I think, three seasons for Lost. I was a fan of Terry O'Quinn. On that show. I think he was my favorite character on the show. And I, you know, I know, God, why am I Matthew Fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was the lead, basically. But that was an ensemble show, though. Don't you think that was more ensemble than just like one star driven?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but definitely what, you know, they did gravitate towards the same group of maybe five or six characters, and he managed to get into that group of the top five or six.
But yeah, I was a Terry O'Quinn guy when I watched that. I thought his character was he had maybe the most dramatic change of any character on that show.
Yeah, very much so. And a lot of people point to him and this character, Ben Linus's exchanges, as their favorite part of the show, because they got into really interesting discussions about philosophy and things like that.
Ben Linus is sort of like the Negan of Lost, or Negan. Is it Negan on The Walking Dead?
I believe it's Negan.
He's the bad guy who came into the show by doing some terrible things to some protagonists that we really liked, and yet we couldn't resist his charms, and he became one of our favorite characters. TV Guide put him on their list as the 25 greatest TV characters of all time. Wow. That's some high praise for the guy who was only intended for a short run on the series. He ended up lasting until the much-anticipated series finale. Michael Emerson played the role brilliantly by leaning into his devilish nature, his penchant for slyly manipulating people, and his eerie style of communication. And he was duly rewarded with critical praise and showered with awards. Okay. All right, you guys, what do you think? Minor characters that stole the show, supporting characters that were better than maybe the main characters, or you always loved. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and we'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about these minor characters that became huge. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! That's one artist, two songs. Get your requests in now, 312-981-7200, 630 area code. Requesting the Atlanta Rhythm section with Large Time. So that was your second of the two for Tuesday, and they didn't request Atlanta Rhythm section's biggest hit. They went two deep cuts for the Atlanta Rhythm section. Wow. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you want to jump in here, we are talking about side characters or minor characters, supporting characters that that steal the show. I was talking about Putty from Seinfeld, and then there's a ton more in Seinfeld. Like, for instance, Frank Costanza, Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller is hilarious as Frank Costanza, and it's just so funny. And every time he opens his mouth, it's gold, and it's really funny. So that's another one. Kenny Banya, I like Kenny Banya, the terrible stand up comedian that's always trying to work with Jerry. Of course, Kenny Banya giving him the suit. Let's see, who else? Who are some of the other? Mickey. The little person that hangs out with Kramer, Mickey. Oh, and of course Newman. You can't, you know. I mean, Newman is a legendary character. You know, it's really funny, Dan. As you know, I was way late to the ball game on Seinfeld. Like when it was on in the 90s, I never watched it. I didn't start watching it until it was in syndication, and it was in reruns. And it was probably around 2000 when I started watching it, 2001. So it was after it was, you know, it had been canceled for like two and a half years by the time I started watching it. And then, of course, now I know every episode by heart. But in its heyday, I never watched it. So I remember when they screened Jurassic Park, it was at the old Biograph Theater. The screening was at the Biograph Theater, and it was a packed house. It was like, I think it was sponsored by a radio station as well as a critic screening. I never watched Seinfeld. So when Wayne Knight shows up in Jurassic Park, people started laughing and yelling Newman in the theater. It's Newman! Ha, it's Newman! And I was like, I have no idea. I had no idea who the character was. I remembered him from JFK. I remembered Wayne Knight from JFK, but I had no idea what Newman meant. And I asked a couple of people that were with me, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And they're like, this character, what's the matter with you? It's the character he plays on Seinfeld. I'm like, oh, sorry. I don't watch Seinfeld. But I thought that was really funny. I vividly remember going, I have no idea. Why are people yelling the word Newman? So, but yeah, Newman's a great one. And there's a lot of great supporting characters. And I think Frank Costanza might be my favorite. Of all of the recurring supporting characters that you see. And Tim Watley, played by the great Bryan Cranston, another great minor supporting character that really is, that, you know, was given a few episodes and a nice little arc. So, let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Daryl in Racine says, my favorite scene stealers include Major Hotstetter from Hogan's Heroes, George Jefferson's mother-in-law from the Jeffersons. Well, I think you mean George Jefferson's mother. It was George Jefferson's mother. I think that's what you mean. That would be Louise's mother-in-law. She was hilarious. Radio station owner Billy DeWolf on Good Morning World, which is on Antenna TV. Steve says, Alec Baldwin's few minutes on screen giving the coffee is for closers. The ABC speech in Glengarry Glen Ross steals the movie loaded with A-list actors. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, that's become such a quoted. I mean, that whole monologue has become so quoted. And Baldwin delivers it beautifully. Like, you know what I mean? He really does. Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin says, Peter Lorre in Casablanca, great choice. 301, here's a great one. Lotka from Taxi. Andy Kaufman from Taxi. That's a great example of a minor character, a supporting character, like stealing the show every time they open their mouth. Lotka was like a really memorable character. And again, a character that was not supposed to be featured as often. But, you know, Andy Kaufman, you know, the character became so popular, just like we've talked about in the past, that he became a focus. And then Carol, then they wrote in Carol Kane to play his love interest on the show. And she did basically the same voice as Latka. So, yeah, no, he became a cultural phenomenon. And that was just, I mean, that was just his act. He didn't have a name for it. He was just Foreign Man. When Andy Kaufman would do Foreign Man on stage, that was, he did never had a name, but they named him Latka on the show. So, all right, let's see. Here's Samantha on WGN. Hi, Samantha.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I had mentioned Fraser Crane from Cheers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and then, of course,
Kelsey Grammer, but in the character of Fraser Crane.
Right, right. Yeah, and then, of course, he got the spinoff when, as we
exactly.
all know, like when Cheers finally ended, they gave Fraser the spinoff, and that show ended up being great. Fraser was a great show.
Oh, it was fantastic. And what was supposed to be, when he came on, a 6-episode gig, essentially, turned into 20 years.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah. He was tied with, who is it, the Western star for the longest running character on TV, which was surpassed recently. But anyway, I absolutely loved him. I had not really been watching Cheers because I wasn't living in the U.S. And when I came back and I saw an episode, they had reruns on, and I saw him in an episode. And I told a friend of mine, I was so excited. I said, "Oh, good Lord, this guy is hysterical. He is so talented." And yada yada, and he said, "Oh yeah, that's Frasier."
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's Frasier. Yep. All right, Samantha. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, Frasier Crane. There's a lot of characters on Cheers too. That's another one. I mean, Ratzenberg and George Wendt and John Ratzenberg. Come on, man. Cliff and Norm. A couple of great supporting characters. That's another one. That's another one of those shows. You know, that's filled with really fun and memorable side characters. And that show still, by the way, still holds up. Like, there are some TV shows that are dated that don't work now that aren't as funny as they used to be, but that show is still funny. That show is still really, really funny. And so is Taxi. Those are both shows that, you know, despite that they were on at a pretty specific time, you know, for like Taxi, it's like late 70s, early 80s, and then for Cheers, it's through the 80s and into the early 90s. So those were specific times. But you could watch those shows now, and they're still really, really funny. And those characters are really great. So, all right. Supporting characters, minor characters that steal the show. What do you think? 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you. Talk or text. 312-981-7200. We'll jump back into this topic after the news, which is coming up after this. You know, Dan, the most aptly named band of all time. That's Bread. The word white should be in front of it, actually. But Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, requesting some Bread. That's If. Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. If you weren't around in the early 70s, you don't know how big Bread was. They were huge. Huge. Don't understand why, but they were. So, yeah, that's the perfect name for that band. Let's listen to some Bread, shall we? Everybody. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. How are you, everybody? And we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, and we are talking about supporting characters or minor characters or side characters that simply steal the show from the leads. And people love some of these minor characters, and in some cases on TV shows, you know, like Fonzie and like Urkel, they were only meant to be in the show for a little bit, and in Urkel's case, just one show. And then they take off, become so popular that the show eventually becomes about that character. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. How about this? Babette from Gilmore Girls. There's another show that has some supporting characters that are great. Babette is awesome. That's Sally Struthers' character on Gilmore Girls. It's a testament to the magic that is Gilmore Girls that a very famous Emmy winner and Broadway star and also very memorable longtime Christian Children's Fund spokesperson blends right into the cast just as another incredibly compelling eccentric of the town. Of all the kooks in Stars Hollow, Sally Struthers' Babette is easily the best and most endearing one. And nowhere near as irksome as that wretched Kirk. Hey, Kirk is funny. Don't be dissing on Kirk. I think Kirk is great. I think Kirk's a great character. So there's a lot of characters in Stars Hollow that are pretty memorable. But yeah, Babette rules. So, how about this? 309 area code says Ernest T. Bass. True. One six area code says I liked Richard Donner as Exidor on Mork and Mindy. I don't think his last name was Donner. Richard Donner is unless he shares the same name as the director of Superman and Lethal Weapon, because that's Richard Donner. I think it was a different name. I think it was definitely Richard, the guy who played Exidor. It was definitely Richard. But I don't think his last name is Donner. Dan, can you? Exidor on Mork and Mindy.
Yeah, Richard Donner.
Is it Richard Donner?
Robert Donner.
Oh, Robert Donner. Okay, there it is. Robert Donner. Okay. All right, Robert Donner is Exidor on Mork and Mindy. Terry says Inspector Luger from Barney Miller. There's another show. Oh, man. There's another show with 900 great supporting performances in it. Inspector Luger, fantastic. But I liked, why am I blanking on his name? The actor's name is Steve Landisberg, the late, great Steve Landisberg. Why am I blanking on the character's name? I can't believe it. He was my favorite character on the show. But that's another one. Barney Miller's another one that's loaded with, like, really great supporting performances that steal it. Dietrich. That's the character that Steve Landisberg played on Barney Miller. I'm a Dietrich guy. He was my favorite character on that show. 630 area code says Betty White as Sue Ann Nivens. Oh yeah, that's Mary Tyler Moore. She was phenomenal on Mary Tyler Moore. That's another one, man. Ted Knight on Mary Tyler. Wow, man. Some of those ensemble driven comedies, man, with the stuff that's like really well written, those smaller characters are still really, really memorable. Reese in Carol Stream says Gil and Mole Man amongst the many Simpsons minor greats. Now, here's the deal about the Simpsons. We could talk all morning about great minor characters, and it could all just be about the Simpsons. It could just be all of Springfield. Ralph Wiggum. I mean, come on, man. Ralph Wiggum is the best. Chief Wiggum. All of them. Flanders. Principal Skinner. That show is loaded with great, memorable supporting characters. Frank Grimes. He was just a one-off, though, because they killed him. They killed Grimey. 331 area code says, how about Bill Daly's character on the Bob Newhart show, Howard Borden? That's another one. Howard Borden is great. Speaking of The Simpsons, Marsha Wallace, fantastic as his secretary. Peter Boneyers as the dentist who shared the office space with Bob Newhart. Yeah, a lot of great characters on that one. I guess Howard though is maybe the one that gets the most consistent laughs. So, all right, how about let's see, Barry Zuckerkorn. On Arrested Development, we mentioned him a little bit earlier. It's the character that Henry Winkler plays. Carl Weathers on Arrested Development. That's a nice one that they picked Carl Weathers on Arrested Development. Estelle on Friends. Now, I'm not familiar with Friends. We almost don't know which is better, actual Estelle or Phoebe's impression of Estelle. But in the end, we're going to go with the real deal. Now, is Estelle the woman, Dan, is this Estelle from Friends? Is she the woman who works in the coffee shop?
No, Estelle is Joey's agent.
Oh, Joey's agent.
And
okay.
She's, you know, the hard talking, always smoking New Yorker, being like, all right, I got you a part. You're playing the bread guy, and you got to be there at this time. And yeah.
I've seen her image as the show is broadcast here in the studio twice a morning during my show. I've seen her. And then there's a guy that works at the coffee shop.
Gunther.
Gunther. Now, I think he's listed in one of these.
Yeah, he's on one of the lists.
Yeah. But now, what does he do?
His deal is he has unrequited love for Rachel.
Oh.
And
who doesn't on that show?
Yeah, sure. So, but she doesn't notice him, and he is forever on the sideline.
Gotcha. All right. Then there is a mention here of Frank Costanza on Seinfeld. Just when you thought nobody could be more crotchety than George himself, Dad steps in. Another one from The Simpsons, Troy McClure. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might know me from such educational films as Smoke Yourself Thin. Just put this on in the background and let your brain slowly ooze out of your ears, Troy McClure. The late, great Phil Hartman. Man. Let's see. Here's Kathy on WGN. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
But as far as movies are concerned, my gosh, it's got to be Roadhouse for me. Oh. When Sam Elliott shows up in Roadhouse, holy crap.
Yeah.
That is just, I wait for that moment.
Yep. Yep. And also, the thing about that is, like, he's the biggest badass in the movie. And then they kill him. That's the other thing. That's like when he dies, it's like, oh no, you can't kill Sam Elliott.
No.
Oh yeah, that's a great choice. Great choice, Kathy.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye bye. Yeah,
bye. Sam Elliott rules. He particularly rules in Roadhouse. He's so good in Roadhouse. Now, Dan, you know the story about Bill Murray and one of his
yes,
one of his best friends is the guy who co-wrote Scrooged. Was married, I don't know if they're still married. Was married to Kelly Lynch. Maybe they're still married. They're probably still married. He was married to Kelly Lynch. Kelly Lynch was the female lead in Roadhouse. And so every single time Roadhouse is on cable, Bill Murray calls his friend up just to let him know that his wife is naked on screen and having sex with Patrick Swayze. He calls every time Roadhouse is on. He calls him up and says, hey, by the way, I'm watching your wife having sex with Patrick Swayze right now. Just want you to know that. Every time. Let's see. Georgina Sparks from Gossip Girl. Oh, I love her. Michelle Trachtenberg. So she tricked Dan into thinking that he was her baby daddy. Ridiculous drama is the point of this show, and if you can't take it, you should turn it off the TV and go read books and then come back and try again. Jean Ralphio from Parks and Rec. So that's I can't remember the actor's name who plays that role, but Jenny Slate plays his sister, and she's just as hilarious as he is. They're both unbelievably funny, unbelievable supporting characters on that show. But I can't remember the actor's name who plays Jean Ralphio, but Jenny Slate is the sister, and she is hysterically funny. Really, really, really hysterically funny on it. All right. Dan, do you ever watch, did you watch Parks and Rec?
No, I didn't get into it.
This character that they're talking about, but we were just talking about, Jen Ralphio, he's hilarious, but Jenny Slate plays his sister on it. Together, they were unbelievable. And that's another one, Parks and Rec. That was another one of those shows. I mean, you got Chris Pratt, who played Andy. He was hilarious. I mean, come on. Ron Swanson? What are we talking about here? It's one of the greatest characters of all time. So many good characters. That's another one. So many good characters on that show. And very similarly, The Office. Who would you pick out? Now, you watched The Office, right?
I did watch The Office.
Who would you pick out of the supporting characters? Who would you pick as number one? Because they're all great.
Yeah. Ugh, that's.
I mean, would Dwight?
Dwight would probably be the most famous, I'd say. I love Stanley.
Yeah, me too. Stanley's fantastic. Creed.
Yeah.
Creed rules, man. Yeah, there's another one, man. Lots of great ones. The thing about Stanley is it is just as soon as you see the guy's face, it's just look at him, you start laughing. Because he's always got that same look on his face, like, you know, like rolling his eyes, or just like bored out of his mind, or just like, why am I here? Or just doing a puzzle, not paying attention to anything that's happening in the office. Oh, man. All right, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about this. What are some minor characters or supporting actors and actresses who just flat-out steal the show? We can cover both TV and movies if you want to jump in. It's 312-981-7200, and we'll come back with more after this. Welcome back, everybody, to the smooth sounds of bread. it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday! And Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin. Requesting some bread with everything I own. And again, if you were around in the early 70s, whew, man, ridiculous. Hi, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Coming up is Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. We've been talking about supporting characters or supporting minor characters that steal the show, and we've got a bunch of them here. So let's see. How about Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead? Norman Reedus, man. I mean, people love that character, and he became basically like at one point he was kind of like became like the most favored character on the show. Daryl wasn't even in the graphic novels on which this show is based. He was created wholly for the TV series. Over time, Norman Reedus has become a fan favorite on The Walking Dead, so much so that many prefer Daryl over any of the supposed leads. In fact, there's been plenty of demand for a spinoff following Daryl all by himself. Do you imagine, Dan, if they kill him off? How people would go nuts if they killed him? Because, you know, they kill off major characters on The Walking Dead all the time.
Right.
They kill him off. That's it. People will lose their minds. Let's see. How about Schmidt from New Girl? Max Greenfield, great character. New Girl was never supposed to focus too heavily on Schmidt. But by the way, you know, when that show started, I happen to be a big fan of Zooey Deschanel, and I know a lot of people find her quirkiness, you know, and her bangs and her cuteness annoying, Esmeralda Leon being one of them. I totally understand that. You know what I mean? I understand, you know, if you have a small amount of patience for that quirkiness. And I have to admit that when the show first came on, that's what it was all about. You know what I mean? It was all about showing how quirky and cute Zooey Deschanel can be. And then it started to change and become an ensemble show. And it wasn't about just Jess anymore. It was, you know, and her quirkiness. It became about all of those characters. And that's when the show really improved and really hit its stride. But yeah, when it first came on, that's what it was. It was like, let's watch Zooey Deschanel be cute and quirky. New Girl was never supposed to focus too heavily on Schmidt. New Girl was supposed to be a show about Jessica Day. She's the new girl in the apartment after all. Well, she was the new girl 7 years ago, but she's not anymore. The Schmidt character was merely one of the three dudes she was living with, and his character began primarily as a douche. The character was only there so that every word out of his mouth would make the other character's eyes roll. But soon enough, Max Greenfield's charm had won the audiences over, and he became the general favorite character of the show's fans. Yeah, so that's true. Very, very, very true. Dwight is mentioned. Dwight Schrute is mentioned here. Ron Swanson, played by Nick Offerman. Ron Swanson is the curmudgeonly government worker who does not believe in the system of government. When the creators of Parks and Recreation were conducting their research for the writing of the series, they found that a lot of local government workers share the attitude of Ron Swanson. This is where truly great comedy characters come from, and they're rooted in real life, people or a group. Yeah, true. And also it helps that that Nick Offerman is you know, phenomenal and really plays that character to the hilt. Sheldon Cooper says, I know what you must be thinking. Sheldon Cooper, a supporting character, but he's the lead. Well, that's what you would think now because he has been given center stage and became the star of the show. But it wasn't like that. Go back to season one. The Big Bang Theory was never really about Sheldon. It was the story of the awkward nerd Leonard as he attempted to woo his next-door neighbor, Penny. And his roommate, Sheldon, was merely there to provide the occasional bit of comic relief. But Sheldon resonated with audiences more. So Leonard was sidelined, and Sheldon became the lead of the show. Now, according to IGN, the show wouldn't be the same without him. It's hard to imagine the Big Bang Theory, how it would be if it weren't for Jim Parsons' great portrayal of Sheldon Cooper. Yeah, that's another one. It's another one that became huge. Here's Steve in Galesburg on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I can't think of the actor's name, but he played the millionaire Elliot Carlin on the Bob Newhart show.
Oh. Yeah, no, I can't remember. I can't remember who. Yeah, I can't remember it either.
No, and I don't. Unless I know it, I don't like to resort to Googling. But
right.
No, every episode it was. He was just the whole supporting cast of Newhart was great. But,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, but Carl, I always got a kick out of.
All right, very cool. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is Lisa on WGN. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, good morning, Nick.
Morning.
My favorite character actress of all time, and she steals every movie she's in, is Thelma Ritter.
Oh, man, Rear Window.
Rear Window.
I mean,
she's
come
so
on.
She's so funny in that.
She's she was a terrific actress.
She really was.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, the first thing that pops into my head is Rear Window, because she's so great in Rear Window.
And she actually has a little bit bigger part in that movie, too, than normal.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's not, you know, she's really just a character actress. But, yeah she's just so funny.
She was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrific. Okay, thank you, Lisa. Have a good morning.
Sure.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
312-981-7200. Canadian Bill says, JJ on Good Times. Yeah, the whole Dynamite thing. That's why John Amos left the show. John Amos was like, this show's getting ridiculous. I thought this was supposed to be about... you know, a black family struggling with living in the projects, and now it's about this tall, skinny doofus yelling Dynamite? And John Amos complained to Norman Lear. And Norman Lear said, all right, and then he gets a phone call from Norman Lear like a week later and says, yeah, listen, you don't bother to come into work because we've killed your character off. So they killed him off because he complained about the focus of the show being on JJ and not the family. Gina Linetti from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Oh, that's another one. And, I am so glad that show is back. Oh, my God. The void has been filled. That's another show that's got a bunch of great characters. I mean, Andre Brower on that show? April and Andy on Parks and Rec. Yep. The janitor on Scrubs. Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Neil Flynn. From Chicago. He was great on Scrubs. And Kenneth on 30 Rock. 30 Rock, another show that has a bunch of really great supporting characters. Kenneth being way near the top. 708 area code says Lenny and Squiggy. For sure, Lenny and Squiggy. That fits that. I mean, they fit in that category perfectly. Like two of the most memorable supporting characters in TV, Lenny and Squiggy. Trucker Don says Red Foreman from that 70s show. Played by the great Kurtwood Smith. Chris says Colonel Flagg from MASH. Mm. All right. We got a ton of these here, and we want to hear more from you. At 312-981-7200, everybody hang on. If you're sending in a text, please do it, and we will read them. And we are talking about minor characters or supporting roles or supporting characters that stole the show. The news is up next. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday! And 218 area code requesting Robert Plant and Allison Krauss with Please Read the Letter That I Wrote. Yeah, and we are back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And we've been talking about minor characters or supporting roles or supporting characters that steal the show in both movies and TV. In some cases, basically, on TV shows, basically taking over, like Urkel and Fonzie. So we'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hello, Nick. Good morning. I got a couple film ones and a TV one. One of them was totally passed over by the critics and whatever, awards, but totally deserves recognition, was The Trainer of Jonathan Cabot and Jim Cotta.
Oh, God.
No, just kidding. I'm totally kidding on that one. But Stephen Tobolowsky killed in, obviously, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And he also did a great job in Silicon Valley,
mm-hmm.
his role in that. I remember I think the gentleman's name was Robert Pastorelli, and he had a small role in Dances with Wolves. He was the escort for Kevin Costner going through the prairie, and he was like real kind of slovenly. He ended up getting killed by Indians, but his character was, I still remember it. After seeing the movie, I don't know if it rings a bell with you or not.
Yeah, I mean,
my last one was Oliver Platt in Huff, which was a criminally underrated TV series.
Mm. Yeah, and Oliver Platt is another one of these guys who's a scene stealer. There's no question about it. I mean, he's great in everything. And Stephen Tobolowsky, you know, he's a friend of the show. We're going to have to get him on pretty soon because One Day at a Time season 3 is coming back in February. So we got to any excuse to have Stephen on is great. But yeah, I mean, if you Stephen Tobolowsky is another one of those guys, character actor who steals a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, like you mentioned Silicon Valley, which was great. And, but I mean, obviously, you know, Needle Nose Ned, from Groundhog Day. I mean, it's one of the classic supporting characters that stole the show of all time. So, Rich, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would, like to join us, we mentioned Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and one of these articles mentions Captain Raymond Holt. It's truly great comedy writing and acting by Andre Brower when the funniest character on the show is the one who goes out of his way to be boring and not funny. Captain Raymond Holt of the 99th Precinct of the NYPD comes in as a straight-laced polar opposite of the jokey, fun-loving Jake Peralta. But audiences were very quickly realize that there's a lot of fun to be found in the character of Holt, whose straight-faced deadpan delivery of every line, total lack of expression, and penchant for all things boring make him by far the best character on the show. Also, extra points go to whenever Holt lets loose and surprises the audience by breaking character with an outcry of hot damn or a code name like Velvet Thunder. As if the character of Holt wasn't great enough, he also empowers gay and black people by being both without any stereotypes of either and by being smart, strong, and commanding. Yeah, it's a great character. I mean, he does get most of the laughs on that show. Well, not most because the show's hilarious, but he does get a lot of laughs on that show. All right, here's a couple of movie ones. Jay and Silent Bob from Clerks. Then they, you know, and like a lot of these supporting characters that that do so well, they ended up getting their own movie. Really, Jay and Silent Bob could be said to steal the show in basically all of Kevin Smith's movies. A two-man Greek chorus. They don't particularly care about any sickly sweet element Smith tries to shove into there, which is funny, being that Silent Bob is Smith. It became clear people love them, which is why Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back exists. All right. How about the Minions in Despicable Me? My mom loves those Minions. My mom adores them, laughs every single time at the Minions. Gru's Minions somehow managed to upstage a character voiced by Steve Carell. Their adorably odd appearance, silly antics, and strange way of talking made kids and adults fall in love with them. After providing backup for Gru for two movies, they even got their own Minions movie. Okay. Here's a good one. Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. Absolutely true. Stole the entire movie. There simply wasn't enough Hit Girl in the original Kick-Ass, nor was there enough Hit Girl in Kick-Ass 2. Just give Chloe Grace Moretz her superhero starring role and be done with it. The world never really cared about the lead character, but Hit Girl was wickedly fun, slicing jugulars and spouting expletives with gleeful abandon. That was when Chloe Grace Moretz really, like, that's when she really took off. You know what I mean? I mean, she was in 500 Days of Summer. She played Joseph Gordon-Levitt's little sister. And she was great. She was in the Amityville Horror, too. She was the little girl in Amityville Horror, which is one of the many horror remakes that she's been in. She was in Amityville Horror. She was in Let Me In, which was a remake of Let the Right One In. She was in Carrie and Suspiria. And only one of them was good, and that would be Suspiria. Let's see. We got more texts coming in. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200. 630 area code says, Stephen Root as Jimmy James in News Radio. Fantastic. Fantastic. That's another one of those shows that... I don't think News Radio gets the recognition that it deserves, because it's a really great show, a really really great show, and I'm not sure that historically it's getting the kind of recognition it deserves. You know, Dan, did you watch News Radio?
I did not.
It is a great show. I mean, really, and again, another group of characters that are really memorable and very very funny. 773 area code, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl from Newhart. Yeah, those guys were great. 815 area code, Brooke Shields as Rita Glossner on The Middle. She was hysterical in a few episodes. She's great. She was great on that show. She was really funny on that show. 815 area code, Gomer Pyle on Andy Griffith. Very true. Got his own show out of it. That seems to be one of the... Dan, that seems to be one of the things that proves that these characters were so memorable that they eventually get their own show.
Right.
Or they take over the show they're on.
Right.
312 area code says, the neighbor behind the fence on Home Improvement. What was his name?
Wilson, I believe.
You're right. Wilson. 562 area code, two great supporting characters, Hank Kimball in Green Acres and Floyd Lawson on The Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith Show was another one that had, a ton of really memorable characters on it. Yeah, Mayberry was pretty full of pretty memorable characters. So, here is Elizabeth on WGN. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Nate.
Hi.
I'd like to recommend Jane Darwell as Ma Jode in The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh, yeah.
The perseverance of women during the Depression and their strength.
Yeah.
And when she put that earring up to her ear, I just about died.
Yeah, yeah. You're agreeing with this, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that movie is chock full of fantastic performances, but, again, kind of in an understated role, stealing everything, she definitely applies.
Yeah, for sure. Elizabeth, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know what they mentioned here? Riddick in Pitch Black. Man. You know what's really funny is I'll never forget Pitch Black. That was the first movie my ex-girlfriend Helena and I saw. That was the first first kind of date we went on. We saw Pitch Black. which is actually a pretty good movie. Pitch Black is pretty good. It now seems unfathomable that the franchise could have ever continued without Vin Diesel, but we forget that Pitch Black was originally an ensemble sci-fi monster movie. It was the sheer charisma of Diesel that continued the story forward. Now Pitch Black seems less like the first in a series and more like a prequel to the Riddick-focused franchise. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm with the Riddick-focused franchise. I'm not real sure that I'm on board for that. There were two Riddick movies, right? Because he did one. He did The Chronicles of Riddick. And then, for some reason, he did another one. And that one actually turned out to be, from what I heard, pretty good. I didn't see this the second Riddick solo movie.
Which I believe was just called Riddick.
It was just called Riddick. And did he do another Triple X movie? No, he didn't do another Triple X movie. Did he? Because I know Ice Cube was in the third Triple X movie.
Which one had
maybe he did
Dame Duty Dench?
Maybe he did do a third Triple X movie of his own. I can't remember, but it was like Vin Diesel was like suddenly, you know, because of the Fast and the Furious movies, he was like, I'm going to bring back Riddick. Like everybody was waiting for Riddick.
Triple X 4 is in pre-production.
Of course it is. Is he in it?
Yes, he is in it. So 2017 had Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
That's what it was, yeah.
Then the 2002 original.
And then the Ice Cube. Right. The Ice Cube one, which didn't have Riddick in it. Riddick. Oh, man. Pitch Black, though, I remember kind of enjoying Pitch Black. I remember seeing it, you know. Yeah. How about Jeffrey Goines from 12 Monkeys? The character earned Brad Pitt a Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination, leading many to wonder how in the heck the TV adaptation of 12 Monkeys would stack up to the twitchy original. It turns out the show made Jeffrey into Jennifer Goines, taking the character in a new direction and sidestepping comparisons to Pitt's unnervingly intense mental patient. I never watched the TV show. They changed Brad Pitt's character to a woman. Wow, I didn't know that. I never watched the TV show. Anybody watch that show? Dan, you ever watch 12 Monkeys?
I did not.
You seen the movie?
I have, yes.
Yeah, the movie's awesome. I was very excited, too, because I got to meet Terry Gilliam. He came to town to promote it, and I got to meet Terry Gilliam. He's one of my heroes. You know, I've met three pythons.
Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking about that right now. I'm like, wait a minute. I've met three pythons. I met Terry Gilliam. I met John Cleese and Eric Idle. That's pretty cool. I would just, wow. That's all right. And all three were awesome. Cleese is the king. John Cleese is the king. You know, it was the second time I met John Cleese, and these were both due to him being on Roy's show. So the second time I met him was insane. Because it was also the day that Roy had Clive Barker on. So we had Clive Barker on. I think it was the sequel to Hellraiser came out. And so Roy's like, you come down and do the interview. I don't know. You know, so he had a new book. He had a new book and a Hellraiser movie. And so I sat in on the interview with Clive Barker, and then Cleese came in and they did the interview together. Like Clive Barker hung out when John Cleese came in. I was beside myself. I was like, what? And Roy did like about 20 minutes with them, and then Clive Barker had another appointment. He had to leave, and then Cleese stayed for another 45 minutes. But for a while, it was like 20 minutes. It was Clive Barker and John Cleese, Roy interviewing them. It was unbelievable. And I'm sitting next to John Cleese. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So, all right, let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to wrap up the supporting character, supporting minor character stealing the show topic. We'll wrap that up. And then it's, I don't know if you guys know this or not, it's National Pizza Week. And as I said at the top of the show, I personally think every week is National Pizza Week, but that's just me. So we've got a whole bunch of pizza stuff to talk about and topping, weird toppings that people try. And we're going to talk pizza in general in honor of National Pizza Week. So that's coming up in a little bit, but let's take a break first, right here on WGN. Classic. By the way, Dan, this is a song that is a misheard lyric.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm in the mood for a melody, but I know someone who thinks it's I'm in the mood for a movie. I'm in the mood. play it back one more time, because it's I'm in the mood. So, it's Robert Plant, by the way, and that's I'm in the Mood, and that's 218 area code for Two for Tuesday.
Yeah!
For Two for Tuesday. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We've been talking about supporting characters or minor characters that are so great that they just basically steal the show from the big stars. And we've been talking about a bunch of them from movies and from TV. And here's one, Sergeant Dingham from The Departed. It's Mark Wahlberg's character, and this is a great example. Mark Wahlberg went full Boston here, somehow outshining heavy hitters like Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Alec Baldwin, and Jack Nicholson. The role even earned Wahlberg a Best Supporting Actor Oscar nomination. Yeah, he's great. Mark Wahlberg is great in The Departed. I mean, everybody's great in The Departed, but like he really did steal the show. He was terrific in that movie, really. How about Fenster from The Usual Suspects? That's Benicio del Toro, and he did without question steal that. He totally stole that movie. Benicio del Toro made the conscious choice to have Fenster speak in such a way that no one in the audience could really know what he was saying, but they kind of understood anyway. His mumbly, oddly humorous performance is one of the best parts of an already great film. I don't know if I would say I'm not a big fan of the Usual Suspects. I'm not a fan of that movie. I know I'm in the minority on that, but I'm not a fan. Hey, by the way, you know, Christopher McQuarrie, I got a text from a very excited Eric Childress that Christopher McQuarrie has signed on to do the next two Mission Impossible movies. And they're going to come out in 2021 and 2022. By that point, Tom Cruise will be 67 years old, and he'll still be running around like a lunatic and jumping off of buildings. Because the last two movies that were directed by McQuarrie, because Christopher McQuarrie wrote and directed the last two Mission Impossible movies, are the best ones. The last one, the one from last year, Fallout, was, I mean, you don't get six movies deep into a series, and it's the best one. So McQuarrie's going to do the next two Mission Impossible movies, which is fantastic. Let's see. 308 area code says Aunt Clara from Bewitched. Oh, there's another show that had a lot of characters that I loved. Paul Lynde was hilarious on that show. My favorite was Dr. Bombay. My favorite supporting character on Bewitched was by far was Dr. Bombay. Dr. Bombay cracked me up every time Dr. Bombay showed up. Mark from Wadsworth said Grady from Sanford and Son. What about Aunt Esther? 815 area code Belker from Hill Street Blues. Kathy says, how about Pauly Peretti as Abby? Oh, as Abby from NCIS. She left, right?
Yeah, last year.
It says, I miss her. 312 area code, Dan Fielding on Night Court was a standout. That was another good show, Night Court. That was a funny show. All right, let's see. Here is Ruth on WGN. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I was going to say Erased with, you know, Robert Pastorelli, who was a big supporting in for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Eraser. Eraser.
I
don't remember much of that movie. Here's what I remember about Eraser. Danny, have you ever seen the Schwarzenegger movie Eraser?
I have not.
It's Ruth, by the way, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in here. The only thing I remember about Eraser are alligators. Like, at one point, they're in a, for some reason, they're in a big room with a bunch of tanks of alligators. And they start shooting the tanks, and the alligators just start eating people. That's the only thing that I remember from Eraser. I remember liking it. You know, I have a memory in my, oh yeah, Eraser, that was a pretty good movie. I don't remember anything else about the movie except for people shooting glass cases with alligators in them, and then alligators eating people. That's the only memory I have of that movie, which is a weird memory to have for a Schwarzenegger movie. Just for, you know. I think that was Eraser. Yeah, it was Eraser. I'm pretty sure it was Eraser. But I just remember people getting eaten by alligators. That's the only thing I remember about that movie. And then finally, Aldous Snow from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Hilarious as Sarah Marshall's boyfriend, Aldous Snow, was popular enough to merit a spinoff called Get Him to the Greek, which was a moderate success. Sometimes scene-stealing characters are best when they're stealing scenes, not carrying them. Even loquacious, drugged-out British pop stars. That's the only time I've ever liked Russell Brand was in that movie. And I hated Get Him to the Greek. I hated it. But I thought he was he's very funny in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He's really, really funny in that movie. And that was really the only time that I've ever really laughed at him. So, anyway. All right, well, there you go. Those are some supporting characters that steal the show. And we're going to take a break, and after the news, we're going to talk pizza. It's National Pizza Week. We got a whole bunch of facts about pizza and topping stories and all kinds of cool stuff. We got to celebrate National Pizza Week. Yes. News is next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. That's one artist, two songs, and that, of course, is the great Carol King. 301 area code requesting So Far Away by Carol King. Yes. Two for Tuesday continues. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, by the way, my next film club screening, I want to talk to you guys about it. I hope you guys can make it out. It's Barefoot in the Park, the classic Neil Simon comedy with Jane Fonda and Robert Redford. It's my mom's favorite movie, and it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and it is absolutely hilarious. And if you've never seen it, you should come on out and see it. And this is the first time I'll ever see it on the big screen. I've never seen it on the big screen before, and I'm very excited to see it. It's a great restoration, digital restoration of the movie. I think it's one of the funniest things that Neil Simon has ever written, and everybody in it is really great, particularly Robert Redford. I think Robert Redford is like genius funny in this movie, and I really love it. It's the whole family can see this movie. It's really sweet and really, really funny. Great romantic comedy, just in time for Valentine's Day. And we're showing it on Tuesday, February 5th at the AMC Rosemont 18, which is formerly the Movie Co. Theater. It's $10 to get in. Parking is free. We're going to show it. I'll introduce the movie Barefoot in the Park. And then afterwards, after we watch it all, we laugh together and everything. We'll do a little talk and a Q&A after with all kinds of stories about behind the scenes and the making of it and everything, all that cool stuff. So, make your reservations now at amctheaters.com. amctheaters.com. Go to the seating chart for Barefoot in the Park on Tuesday, February 5th at 8 o'clock, and pick the seats that you want on the seating chart. They'll be waiting for you on the 5th. But here's the other thing. Before the movie, right around 6 o'clock, why don't you guys head over to Murray Brothers Caddyshack for our Valentine's dinner? We've been working with Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant now, which is located in the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel. It's just a couple of blocks away from the movie theater, and we've been having a blast for the past couple of months having dinner before the movies. We did it with Scrooge the first time, which starred Bill Murray, and then we did it last month, just a few weeks ago, with Slapshot. And the great thing about it is, first of all, the Caddyshack restaurant is fantastic. It's full of great memorabilia with the Murray brothers and movie posters and all kinds of cool stuff. And you can buy some really cool. They got a gift shop and everything. They got a big round bar right in the middle of the restaurant. The food is terrific. The staff is great. The management is outstanding. It's just a great, great place. And it's really conveniently located just a couple of blocks away from the movie theater. So we've been doing this now for a couple of months, and we'll do it again on February 5th. The great thing is that the Murray Brothers Caddyshack guys are going to give you 15% off all your food. You just have to prove that you're going to see Barefoot in the Park and that you're part of the film club. Get 15% off all your food purchases, and there's going to be Valentine's dessert specials and drink specials that are Valentine's Day related. So we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day by seeing a really, really funny romantic comedy and having some really great food at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. 15% discount to the film club members. So make sure you have your proof that you're going to see Barefoot in the Park and come on out. We're going to start eating it around 6 o'clock, and then we'll head over to the movie, and I will introduce the great Barefoot in the Park at 8 o'clock, and we'll watch it together. So reserve your seats right now at amctheaters.com, amctheaters.com for the movie seats. And also, if you have questions or you want to make reservations for the Caddyshack Restaurant in Rosemont, the phone number is 847-443-3673. Tell them you're with the Nick DiGilio Film Club and that you're going to see Barefoot in the Park. And if you want to make your reservations or if you have any questions, again, the phone number for the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant is 847-443-3673. 847-443-3673 for questions or reservations from Caddyshack Restaurant. And also amctheaters.com for your reservations for the great Neil Simon comedy Barefoot in the Park with Robert Redford and Jane Fonda. It's going to be a really fun night, and we hope you can make it on February 5th. Okay. Dan, you were not aware that until you discovered it, you were not aware that that it's National Pizza Week.
I was not.
And we live in a city that celebrates pizza daily.
Indeed.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked about our favorite pizzas in the past. Dan, what again, remind me of what your favorite pizza
is. Phil's Pizza on Milwaukee Avenue by Bryn Mawr. It is where we actually held our rehearsal dinner. We enjoy it so much.
That's Phil's Pizza. Now, do they serve your classic thin crust? Or
Yes, they serve it all, but the classic thin crust is what we go with.
You guys go with the thin crust tavern style cut in squares as God intended.
Right, right.
Okay.
And then when we're going margarita, we go to Sapori in Napolitano on Northwest Highway.
I know where that is. Yeah, that's a great. That's a great place.
Yeah,
that's a great place. Those are good. I, my favorite pizza. My favorite pizza in the city is John's Pizzeria, which is on Western 2000 Northwestern. It's the best thin crust in the city, and it is. It's crispy. It's tasty, and it is. It's just my favorite. It's just the best. John's Pizzeria on Western is the best. And I've said this before. Whenever we talk about pizza, I always mention John's Pizzeria on Western because it's my favorite pizza of all time. But it's every time I eat a pizza at John's, I eat more than I should because I can't stop myself. Like I'm not kidding. Every single time I order a pizza from John's or I go to John's and I get a pizza, I eat way more than I normally would if I were eating any other kind of pizza. It's just, I just like, oh my God, this is the best. This is the best. Even though I've had like 14 pieces, I'm still going to have a couple of more. So John's Pizzeria, about 2000 Northwestern in Chicago. For my money, best thin crust pizza in the city. I grew up ordering from Pete's Pizza, which is on Western right down the street from Waveland Bowl. Used to order from there all the time. Pete's Pizza, we ordered from there a lot. In my neighborhood, the one that I go to that's not very far from where I live is Al's Pizza. You ever order from Al's at Irving and Narragansett?
You know, I think I've had it. I don't, but not recently.
It's just east of Narragansett on Irving. Real good tavern style thin crust pizza. Very, 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 very good. And, I enjoy, you know, I'm not very far. I live very close to a Leona's. They have great pizza. And Super Rosa is another one that has really strong pizza. But I think the one that I order from the most whenever I order pizza in my apartment is Al's. That's the one I order from the most. So, but it is National Pizza Week. And so we have some 9 regional pizza toppings that are worth a try. So these are regional. We always get into the regional stuff when it comes to pizza. Because, you know, Chicago is known for the deep dish. We're known for the deep dish pizza. I'm not a deep dish guy. I prefer the thin crust, square cut, tavern style pizza, which is also Chicago. Very, very well known as a Chicago thing. The crispy crust, square cut, tavern style. But the deep dish, if I do go for deep dish, I go for Lou Malnati's. That's the one that I go to if I'm going to go to deep dish. But I very rarely eat deep dish pizza. And I still love the rant that Jon Stewart did a few years back about going off on Chicago style pizza. Have you ever seen that, Dan?
I have, yes.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. But here's what I'll say, though. I don't like New York style pizza. New York style pizza, the pieces are too big, and I can't stand. I just think it's, don't fold a piece of pizza. You do not fold a piece of pizza. First of all, a piece of pizza shouldn't fold. You know what I mean? It shouldn't fold. It should crack because the crust should be thin enough so that you don't fold it. It shouldn't be thick enough and maybe undercooked enough that you can actually pick up a giant piece and fold it. That always drove me nuts. So I'm not defending the New York style pizza, which is what Stewart is doing, but he did hilariously slam the deep dish. Like, couldn't wrap his mind around deep dish pizza. So, but we got some regional toppings. Here we go. In New York City, speaking of New York, truffles. Could you imagine a truffle on a pizza? Fall is truffle season, and New York's restaurants and pizzerias love to take full advantage of the fluffy fungi to add flavor. As supplies are shipped through the city's artery of eateries, you'll find several locations that add the shaved delicacy to pies. Yelp reviewers are fond of Song E Napool in the West Village. Well, I guess, do you ever get mushrooms on your pizza, Dan?
I have, not frequently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would be similar to that. You know, you shave some truffles onto a pizza. That doesn't sound crazy. Because I like mushrooms on my pizza. So it's in sort of the mushroomish family. It's just a lot fancier. So New York City, they like to put truffles on their pizza. And it makes me crazy when people refer to it as pie. You're going to add the shaved delicacy to pies. No, that's not a pie. I don't eat a pie.
Mine is za.
Oh, man. Yeah, me too. Za. Za. Here's one that I heard, and I don't know where this came from, but and this was a guy who used to be with the Factory Theater. I can't remember where he's from. He's not from Chicago, but I can't remember. It's been a long time since I've talked to him, but I'm trying to remember where he's from. But he referred to it as, hey, why don't we order a wheel? And I'm like, what the hell is that? He's like, a wheel, a pizza. I'm like, who the hell calls it a wheel? So I have no idea where this guy, originally is from. But wherever he's from, I guess they refer to it as a wheel. Has anybody ever heard that before? I had never heard that. I had never heard that before or since. So maybe he was just pulling my leg or something. Maybe it was just he was just, goofing around or something. But he did. He was like, in all seriousness, he referred to it as a wheel. But I've not heard that from anybody else before or since. But I thought that was ridiculous. A wheel. Because I had no idea. We should get a wheel. I'm like, for what? For a bike? What do you? For a car? What, do you have a blowout on the way here? What? No, it's a pizza. Oh, really? Not in this city, it's not. Wheel. All right, it is National Pizza Week. We've got more regional pizza toppings to talk about. Plus, I've got a whole bunch of mouth-watering facts about pizza as we celebrate National Pizza Week. And if you want to jump in here with your thoughts on pizza, some of your favorite places or some of your favorite pizzas, text or call us at 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. 301 area code requesting Carole King. That's You've Got a Friend. And we're here until 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell at 5. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's National Pizza Week. Isn't that fantastic? And we're talking about some unusual regional pizza toppings that are worth a try. New York City, they love to shave some truffles and put them on top of their pizza. And we've got some more, some regional pizza toppings that are worth a try. And we're talking pizza in general. What are your favorites? What's kind of your go-to? Dan, what do you get on your, what's your pizza toppings?
I'm a cheese guy. I will occasionally go sausage, but that's it. I do not stray from those two usually.
Really? No pepperoni?
No, I hate pepperoni.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah. But I remember as a kid, I always hated when my mom went to Puerto Rico because that meant my dad and brothers were in charge of dinner, and that meant pepperoni pizza and root beer on Fridays, which I enjoyed neither. So I would starve.
I totally forgot about that. I just like sausage. I'll add some extra stuff, and I'll put some mushrooms on there every once in a while. And I like pepperoni, but if I'm going to choose one or the other, I go with sausage. That's the, and just, you know, like just cheese and sausage. And sometimes I'll throw some mushrooms in there, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Garlic sometimes, you know, but yeah, I'm just, it's the sausage pizza, man. That's my go. Thin crust, tavern style sausage pizza.
Delicious.
Yep. From John's. 312-981-7200, we're celebrating National Pizza Week. Here's Andy on WGN. Hi, Andy.
Oh, am I on now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, well, I heard you talking. I had something to say about before. Dennis Hopper behind Nicolas Cage in Wild at Heart.
Dennis Hopper wasn't in Wild at Heart. Dennis Hopper was in Blue Velvet.
Yeah. Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
That's okay.
Wow. This is my first appearance on public radio.
That's okay.
Messed up.
No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. So what do you, yeah, go ahead.
Thanks a lot. No, well, I was going to say, I've worked at pizza establishments all in Chicago, and it's just about impossible to find a bad pizza in Chicago, and I've worked at Rosati's and like other places, and like just about everything has like a really good pizza. I mean, I'm a little bit like under the weather, my throat's a little bit, but anyways, like I've been to places like Michigan and Tennessee. Oh, and you were talking about the wheel pizza.
Yeah,
I've been in Tennessee, and they make a pizza, it's about the size of a truck tire. And I used to joke with them because it was okay pizza, but I joked with them. I was like, "Yeah, when you're done eating, you can fix your truck with it because it's
that big."
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 25 or like a yard wide or something. Yeah, so yeah. Like pretty funny.
Well, then they actually sell the pizzas the size of wheels in Tennessee. That's. It's fantastic. Andy, thanks for the call, man. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. All right. In Boston, they put lobster. That's not a surprise. Lobster on their pizza. It's no great surprise that crustaceans who were occupying the coast just a few hours prior to being served are going to a town specialty. But Boston does a great job of incorporating shellfish into their Italian-inspired fare, too. One of the most notable dishes is Scampo inside the Liberty Hotel and former jail, where Chef Lydia Shire takes a thin crust pizza and douses it with heavy cream, garlic, and the meat of an entire 2-pound lobster. Oh. Oh, that sounds good. 2 pounds of lobster on a pizza. Heavy cream, garlic. Oh, fantastic. How about this? In St. Louis, Provel cheese. If you think you've tried every possible cheese variety on your crust, you might have missed St. Louis's proprietary variation, Provel. It's a highly processed blend of Swiss provolone and cheddar. It's gooey, it's waxy, and it's thick. And it can be found at the area chain's Imo's, which doubles as the cheese distributor. Do we have any St. Louis people out there who have tried the Provel cheese on their pizza? I know we got some people who listen in St. Louis. Provel cheese. Never tried that. I would try it. I like Swiss. I like provolone. I like cheddar. And I like cheese that's gooey and waxy and thick. That all sounds really, really, really good to me. So any St. Louis people out there, you ever tried the Provel cheese? Call or text at 312-981-7200. Here's Doc in Kansas City on WGN. Hi, Doc.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
First on Emos, I manage five places in Kansas City and St. Louis.
And
Provel is awesome. And Emos, they do wholesale. And I worked for a little hole-in-the-wall place called Bugsy's. These guys were former delivery drivers for Emos. Emos didn't care. They'd sell as long as they sold their products. But I don't know if you guys have Hy-Vee's in Chicago, but Hy-Vee grocery stores in Kansas City sell Emos shredded Provel.
Oh, okay. No,
getting to the reason I called, like I said, I pulled 7 years in the pizza business. I was telling Dan, I just got a pizza oven grill, and I've already cooked on it. But my best friend and I will be cooking out at the Patriots-Chiefs game this Sunday. But on my 30th birthday, I'm 65 now, I invented designer pizza. And that was right when there was designer cheese, designer chocolates, everything. And I only eat meat ingredients. So I invented the doctor pie, which was the all-meat pizza. And I thought, well, what if you could – I always wore, Calvin Klein's and a polo. I thought, what if you could set one on fire in front of people? So I invented Doc's Flaming Paradise Pie. And you can set anything on fire, but I did a Canadian bacon, shrimp, pineapple rings. There's 10 rings in a can, so I put one each on the 8 slices, shrimp in the center, other shrimp on it, took the other 2 slices, put them on a saucer, put it in the freezer. When the pizza came out, cut it, garnished each slice with a little plastic sword toothpick, maraschino cherry, orange slice, put those other 2 slices in the center as the reservoir for the liquid. And I tried all the flambe liquids, añejo rum, 151 rum. You can guess what worked best.
Yeah.
190 proof ever cooked.
Yeah, I bet.
So, and about 1 in 5 would burn out if you tried to carry it across the restaurant. People wanted everybody to see that they had the flaming pizza. So then I would set it on fire in front of them. So the doc would walk out with his big horse syringe, hit that thing. You'd have a little cylinder of blue and gold flame about the size of a beer can. It would burn for a minute. Burn out, no residual taste, no residual alcohol. The kids could eat the pizza. So to my knowledge, July 19th, 1983 was when Flaming Pizza first appeared.
Oh, all right. Thank you for the history lesson, Doc.
All right, man.
All right, take care. That sounds crazy. Flaming Pizza. Hey, man, whatever you got to do to celebrate National Pizza Week. We are in National Pizza Week right now. And if you have a comment or anything pizza-related that you want to jump in here with, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right. We got a break here for the news coming up in a minute. Welcome back, everybody. Two for Tuesday continues. Yeah, man, Two for Tuesday. Mike in Ravenswood with Elton John and Your Song. So we'll hear another Elton John song. So if Jim Toronto's listening, he's jumping up and down all happy. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 o'clock. It's National Pizza Week, so we're talking a little pizza. Hey, Vic, do you have a favorite pizza place, and what are your go-to toppings?
Oh, I think my favorite pizza in the city, I like thin crust, and I like to get it at Pequod's.
Mm.
You ever been there?
Pequod, sure.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I usually go to Lou Malnati's because I would say that's probably tied for my favorite as well, and it's closer. So
yeah.
I definitely visit Lou's a lot more often.
Now, what's your go-to topping?
I just stick with pizza.
No, I mean
pepperoni. Sorry.
Oh, pepperoni.
Yeah, pepperoni and cheese.
Pepperoni and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Simple. Good.
Yeah, there you go. We got to celebrate National Pizza Week here.
I didn't know that it was National Pizza Week, but I'm getting a pizza today.
Yeah,
now, because of it.
We didn't know that either. Dan discovered
well,
it. Dan discovered it in the morning.
That is awesome.
And so now we're going to do a little pizza talk. to celebrate it. We got a bunch of texts that came in, and if you want to jump in here with some pizza talk for National Pizza Week, 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill says, Canada's contribution to pizza is Hawaiian. People love it or hate it. Americans say it's their least popular, third least popular topping. I can't stand Hawaiian pizza. Can't stand it. Pineapple has no business being on a pizza. Jimbo says, that's the problem with thin crust. There's nothing to it, so you just keep eating and eating and eating. I never liked it. I love thin crust, Jimbo. I'm sorry, man. Dan, you don't like Hawaiian pizza, do you?
I have never had it, but I do not expect to like it if I ever have
it. You wouldn't like it. 708 area code says, Pizza Week. I want Pizza Hut to bring back the Bigfoot permanently. What is that? Is that a giant pizza, Dan? The Bigfoot? Is that just like a big, big-sized Pizza Hut pizza?
It seems to be. At least, I would say, probably 3 feet long. Good. For $10.99.
Good. $10.99 for a three-foot pizza? Wow. That's very...
Toppings cost $10.99. What would I pay for six toppings? Well, $10.99. The reason is...
It's Bigfoot!
It's the Bigfoot Big Six Pizza. Get our special six toppings for the three-topping price of $10.99.
Are you sure you're the pizza guy?
Bigfoot from Pizza Hut. A legendary value.
Marvel Comics X-Men video.
Wow. So that's the Bigfoot. Six toppings for $10.99. Wow, that's quite a deal. Well, maybe how old is that commercial?
It looks like the 1990.
No, so it would probably be more expensive now. So, well, anyway, the 708 area code wants the Bigfoot back permanently. He's demanding it. 847 area code says, I hear wheel and I think cheese. Yeah. That makes sense. I don't think pizza, that's for sure. 847 area code says, I eat unhealthy when my wife's not around. One day, I ordered a medium pizza for myself after I dropped her off at O'Hare. Less than 2 hours later, she called saying that her flight was canceled. I finished the whole thing to get rid of the evidence. Um... 815 area code says, we have wagon wheel pizza at Little Sicily in Spring Valley, Illinois. They call it because it's really big like a wagon wheel. All right. Well, I guess they have those special sized wheels, but this was just, this guy referred to it as just a wheel, like in general, like a pizza is a wheel. It's National Wheel Week. All right, here are some more regional pizza toppings that you should try. Truffles in New York City, lobster in Boston, Provel cheese in St. Louis, and now in Baltimore, Maryland, crab. Not a surprise. While other area pie shops toss crab on their menu, no less an authority than Zagat declared Matthew's Pizza crab deep dish pie to be well worth a road trip. It's pizza so good that it helped fuel writer David Simon through a stint producing HBO's The Wire. Simon once said, it's unlike anything that calls itself pizza anywhere in the world. Well, now I have to try it. If it's associated with The Wire in any capacity. Yeah. You put crab on the pizza. Matthew's Pizza helped David Simon get through The Wire. All right. New Haven, Connecticut, mashed potato. New Haven was already renowned for its pizza before the proprietors of Bar, capital B-A-R, decided to take the concept of comfort food to a new level. Their mashed potato pizza is topped with light whipped spuds and bacon bits. Now, see, when do things like this technically not are not a pizza? Like, when can you get, when, I mean, that doesn't seem like a pizza to me. Does that seem like a pizza?
It does not.
Mashed potatoes on a, and bacon bits? That's not a pizza. All right, in Los Angeles, they put salad on their pizza. There's a shock. Seems like cliche, like a cliche. Of course, image-obsessed LA would spare calories by dousing their pizzas with lettuce, but looks can be deceiving. Gray Block Pizza in Santa Monica covers its dough with cheese, onion, and sour cream, which is then topped with a chopped salad, a lemon olive oil dressing, and a layer of fresh avocados. It's thick, crunchy, and has the ability to spare your waistline. See, that's just weird, man. That's weird. In Memphis, Tennessee, barbecue. Barbecue chicken pizza is everywhere. But if you want it done right, head to Memphis and opt for the pork. Coletta's, the city's oldest restaurant, takes a standard crust and drowns it in pulled pork and their signature barbecue sauce. The pies are so good that Elvis Presley kept a running tab and he'd have Colonel Parker pay off monthly. If you're not a local, they'll be happy to ship one to you. Well, hell, if Elvis liked it. You know what I'm talking about? Elvis knew his food because he ate a lot of it. All right. Steubenville, Ohio, uncooked, a.k.a. Ohio Valley style. While some bloggers have compared this practice to topping pizza with Lunchables box, there's no denying it's an intriguing take on preparing a pie. Pizzerias in Steubenville are fond of cooking the dough and then adding uncooked cheese toppings and toppings post-mortem, allowing the heat from the crust to slowly melt the cheese, or using a takeout box to effectively steam cook the top. No. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ohio Valley style, no. And then finally, in Sydney, Australia, they top with kangaroo. That seems about right. The adventurous meat lover may want to venture to Sydney, where local establishments like the Australian Hotel offer pies topped with rich kangaroo meat. Slices of roux tenders are marinated in a pepper and onion olive sauce. And if that's too tame for you, the hotel can also serve up the saltwater crocodile slice. They have the craziest animals in the world in Australia. You know, I've heard of people who've gone to Australia and just like, I don't even know what that thing is crawling over there. I don't know what idea. It's large and it looks weird. It's some sort of Australian exclusive animal. So, all right. 708 area code says Phil's Pizza in Oak Lawn is the best. By the way, if you want to chime in, it's 312-981-7200. 815 area code says, on the south side near Archer in Harlem, on Archer, is Obie's Pizza. It's a staple, carry out only. Brian says, my wife likes pepperoni and black olives occasionally with fresh garlic. I prefer mushroom, sausage, and onion. My wife is very allergic to mushrooms, so only have mine when she's out of town. It's a very special treat now. Okay. You ever black olives on a pizza? No, you've never had black olives on a pizza, right, Dan?
Never have.
It's good. I mean, I like black olives. Tasty. National Pizza Week, and we're going to continue to talk some pizza here. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. We also have the Blackhawks Express to play, which I believe is going to be 26 minutes long. because the Hawks lost 8-5 during that contest. Really, seriously, the second period last night, if you guys listened or watched the game, the second period was just absurd. For people who don't know, the New Jersey Devils scored 5 unanswered goals in about 12 minutes. It was just the most ridiculous thing ever. And we'll hear all the crazy highlights from what was a pretty crazy game. And, of course, the Hawks lost. But Kaner's playing great hockey. Patrick Kane is playing great hockey. So that's the one bright note. All right, we got some weather here, and then we'll break. Welcome back, everybody. Mike and Ravenswood, did he dedicate that to you?
No, he did not.
it's that's 2 for Tuesday. And Mike and Ravenswood requesting some Elton John and Daniel. So there you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. It is National Pizza Week. And maybe you didn't know that. We didn't know that. But we're talking all things pizza and celebrating. So let's get back to some of these texts. And if you want to jump in with a text or a call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, I have heard pizza referred to as a grease wheel. The grease part was not one of my what my friend said. 708 area code says, I miss Papa's Pizza on Cicero in Oak Forest. Papa's Pizza. 815 area code says, Provel is definitely different, but very tasty. It's a creamy, creamy kind of cheese. Megan says, I'm from St. Louis, living in Chicago. I miss St. Louis pizza so much. It's so gooey, and it melts with the sauce. Some of the restaurants there have amazing pizza. Definitely try it. It's so good. It's cracker-thin crust and super crispy. That sounds good to me. I like the cracker-thin crust. I like it super crispy. And 773 area code says, living by Portage Park, when going to Luther North, Peretta's Pizza on Central. Been there a million times. Been there a million times. Let's see. It's just north of Addison on our way to go. Ever go to Z's on Montrose when you went to LHN? No, I didn't. I'm trying to picture where that is. Z's. Dan, do you know Z's on Montrose near LHN?
I don't think so. I want to say there's a Z's at Nagel and Irving, but...
There is a Z's at Irving and Narragansett.
Yep, yep.
It's right on the corner, because it's... do you know what's Kitty Corner from it?
Your dad's Jewel.
Oh, well, that's across the street. But Kitty Corner is... it's A's. So there's a restaurant called A and a restaurant called Z, yeah. No, I never went to Z's on Montrose for pizza, but I mean, I know that that's the one right there on Irving and Narragansett, right there. It's because on those corners it's the park. Is one corner is the park, and then Z's is on one corner, A's is on the other corner, and then Burger King is on the other corner, and that's Burger King is part of the Dunning Square where my dad's Jewel is. And Al's, by the way, the Al's Pizza that I mentioned before. That's like two storefronts east of the corner. So, but I've been to Peretta's like 9,000 times. It was a staple. That was a go-to in that neighborhood. Let's see. We got a bunch of people who are calling in. It's National Pizza Week. Let's celebrate. Here's Donna on WGN. Hi, Donna.
Hi. I'm from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite pizza there, it's very popular, is olive oil and garlic and fresh round slice of tomato and that with provolone cheese melted over it.
And it's provolone cheese is what they use, right?
Yeah. And it's lots of garlic slice, but that it's like you know, you can get pasta and shrimp. It's like a scampi.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
On it.
That sounds good.
Oh, it is good.
Okay. All right, Donna.
I can't find it around here.
No, it's not. You're not going to find something like that really around here because we have, you know, maybe there's a restaurant that specializes in that kind of stuff you can look for. But if you're just looking for a pizza in Chicago, you're going to get either the thin crust or the deep dish. That's usually what we go with. With the tomato base.
I like thin crust.
I do too.
All right. Again.
All right.
Sorry.
Donna, thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
312-981-7200. Here's Tom on WGN. Hi, Tom.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. Long time listener.
Thank you.
I can eat pizza 24/7, and I thought I'd be burned out. I worked at two places in high school and college, and one, I think there's still a few left, Barnaby's.
Oh, sure.
And one was a mom-and-pop place, Mr. Pizza.
Uh-huh.
But it was a great experience, and I met good people, taught me a good work ethic, as you talk about the Jewel.
Yeah.
And it was just great. My go-to is sausage, mushroom, onion, green pepper.
That's a good combo right there. Yeah. That's a good combo.
Can I request a twofer? How about anything by Brothers Johnson?
we've already got our fill for twofers this week.
Okay,
Tom. All right. But you can try it again next week, okay?
Okay.
Take care, buddy. Take care. There you go. All right. More texts are coming in here, but a lot of people like pizza, Dan. Did you know that?
I've heard a rumor.
Yeah. Linda says, Al and Lita is in Dixon. Lita still works there, and she's in her 90s. Great pizza. We have to mention Vito and Nick's. Vito and Nick's is, it's very similar to John's Pizzeria, but it's easier for me to get to John's Pizzeria than it is for me to get to Vito and Nick's. But anytime pizza in Chicago or the Chicago area is discussed, Vito and Nick's comes up. And as well it should, because it's amazing pizza. And that's the classic crispy, thin crust tavern style pizza. Been around forever, and everybody loves it. So, 708 area code says, my favorite pizza topping is barbecued chicken pizza. I might want to try Tennessee. Was it Tennessee? Yeah, Tennessee. Keith in Kansas says, Little Caesar is pretty decent for $5, but it is definitely not the best available. No, it's not. No, it's not. I will say this, though. I did eat a pretty steady diet of Little Caesar's pizza. And that's when we were working, when the factory theater was working out of the prop theater on Elston. And you were building a set, or you were in tech, and you had to feed the crew. You had to feed the actors. And the people who were helping building the set and painting and rehearsing and all that stuff, you just go right over to Little Caesars because they've got $5 pizzas. They're not great, but it's something to eat. So I ate a pretty good amount. I mean, over the years that we were working out of the prop theater on Elston, we ate a lot of Little Caesars pizza because it was, all, like you said, it's hot and ready. It's there. You can go in and it's $5. Here's a pizza. You know, and it's pizza, you know, kind of. Let's see. 708 area code says Frank Pepe Pizza in New Haven, Connecticut. They have one with fresh clams, garlic, and red and green peppers. It's a thin crust and it's a little bit burnt. It's a little burnt and it's the best. 239 area code says we have no good pizza in Florida. 773 area code. Oh, D'Agostino's. Yeah, I always forget to mention D'Ags. D'Ags, man, God. Right on Addison and Southport, right there. We used to order from there all the time, and that was where we went after we went to Jewel. After we worked at the Jewels, we'd go to D'Og's, sit in the bar and eat a bunch of thin crust. D'Agostino's thin crust and sausage with sausage, green peppers, or just cheese and mushrooms. It's really yummy. By the way, you can get a slice to go at D'Og's. They have like the little to-go walk-up counter where they have at least, I think, four or five different kinds of pizzas where you can go in and just get a slice to go. I've sometimes done that when I'm if I just want to eat something really quick on the way to the music box, if I'm going to see a movie, just stop into D'Og's right on the corner and get yourself a slice. 847 area code says, to me, pizza places either have real good thin crust pizza or real good stuffed pizza, but usually they don't do both of them really good. Marie's Pizza is paper thin, thin crust. Yeah, Marie's is another good one. Marie's Pizza and Liquor. It's out in Lawrence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That place is great. That place has got a lot of personality and a lot of history. 708 area code says, I love going to Beggars. What do you think of it? I've never tried it. You ever tried Beggars, Dan?
I have not.
And 773 area code says, Southside Pizza features Italian beef and green peppers. Well done! I have had Italian beef on a pizza, and it's actually really good. Because it's Italian beef. What's not to love about it? So, all right, we'll take a little break. We got the news coming up, and then we'll talk more pizza. I got some facts about pizza, and it's National Pizza Week, and we want to hear from you. Talk or text at 312-981-7200.
That's right.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio here, the Skyline studio, here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. My main man, Steve Cochran, at 6 for your morning drive. So there you go. It is National Pizza Week, which was news to me, but very happy to hear. And so we're talking pizza here and celebrating National Pizza Week. And we might be talking some other pizza-related topics during the rest of the week as well, just to touch upon this, because we got to celebrate National Pizza Week. And we've been taking your phone calls and your texts about pizza in general and your favorites and all that cool stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Lots of texts coming in. And 815 area code says, how about family members who dip or put pizza with ranch dressing, Western or Russian? Yeah, I do know people who do the ranch dressing thing, and I don't quite understand that. 708 area code says, Joe's Italian Villa in Palos Heights has great thin crust pizza. 708 area code says, Pastiano's Pizza on 55th and Kildare is amazing pizza. Giving a shout out to a lot of the suburban pizza places here. Len says, the Sock Bar and Grill in Hickory Hills has very good pizza. Also, you should try pizza with ground sirloin and green olives. It's very good. May go to pizza is sausage. My go-to pizza is sausage, mushroom, and garlic. Yeah, that's pretty much where I go to if it's not just going to be a regular sausage. Ground sirloin and green olives, that sounds good. It does. It sounds really good. 773 area code says Zazzo in Darien. They also have one in Westmont. Thin crust veggie pie, baby. Um, 630 area code says Moretti's in Bartlett has wonderful thin crust macaroni and cheese pizza. See, man, they can put anything on top of a pizza. Let's see. 630 area code says White Cottage Pizza in Carroll Stream has wonderful thin crust, perfect amount of sauce and cheese every single time. 847 area code says I love Pozzi di Pizza, which is crazy for pizza. It's in Elmhurst on York Road and has a coal oven. It's delicious. They're opening another location in May in the restaurant space next to the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. I can't wait because it's closer to my house. I didn't know that they were opening up a pizza place in that spot.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that.
Yeah. I was very sad that that diner closed. I love that place. Um, 847 area code says, what about Roselli's on Higgins? I've had that. Nancy's on Lawrence had that as well. Pete's on Montrose. Yeah, there's two or three different pizzas. The one that I used to order from all the time when we were growing up was the one on Western. But there's, like, I think there's, Dan, there's two Pete's Pizzas, right? At least.
I know for sure there's a second one. 312 texted in. The number Pete's number two is on Montrose just by Austin. That's the one we went to. That's close to our house.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Susan says Malnati's sausage deep dish rules. And Dan, as you know, I have a Lou Malnati's about 250 feet from my front door. 815 area code says the Tough Guy Pizza was voted Kankakee County's favorite last year. The Tough Guy Pizza? Yeah, man. All right, Tough Guy Pizza. All right, more calls are coming in too on national for National Pizza People. Dan, you know that people like pizza?
Never fails.
Yeah. Here's Keith on WGN. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
All right.
There's this restaurant in Glen Ellen. It's called Barone's Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a thin crust. And remember that old Jay's potato chip commercial, Can't Stop Eating Them?
Yeah.
Once you set one of those things in front of me, quite literally, it's going to be gone.
No,
okay?
That,
I cannot stop eating this thing.
Keith, that's exactly how I feel about John's Pizza on Western. That's exactly how I feel. Like, I demolish those pizzas. Whenever I have a pizza from John's Pizzeria on Western there, 2000 Northwestern, I just can't stop eating it because it's so good.
I know. It's just going and going and going.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, my daughter, when she was younger, this is hysterical. She swore up and down that a pizza that was square cut tasted different than a pizza that was triangle cut. I'm like, it's the same thing. No, it's different.
Well, it's a different kind of experience because, you know, you get those. I mean, I know a lot of people who don't like the middle pieces. I like the middle pieces with no crust.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite. The little pieces with no crust. The middle pieces with no crust. Those were always the ones. Like when my parents and I would order a pizza, they would always leave the middle part for me because I like that. I like that the best. It's a different kind of experience though. But it's obviously a pizza is a pizza. Doesn't matter how it's cut. But yeah. So.
Well, I'll say my wife. She likes the corner pieces. So great. I'll go for the inside.
Yeah. There you go. It's something for everybody. All right, Keith. Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care. Dan, do you like the middle pieces of the thin crust?
I do. I usually go crust, but I will never turn down the middle pieces.
I mean, I'll eat it all. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, you know, because I was a kid, I didn't eat the crust. I would always leave the crust. Because, you know, you're a kid, and a lot of kids just don't eat the crust. But you got that nice crispy crust, you know, with the thin crust, and it's really good. But I do prefer. I like the middle one. I like the middle piece, the middle squares that have no crust on the end. Let's see. Here's Karen on WGN. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
The best place when it first opened was the Casa Luna, Irving and Elston, or Irving and Central Park, or Elston and Central Park.
Yep.
I don't know if it's still there, but the best pizza around here is Bill's Pizza in Mundelein. They have the really thin crust with onion and green pepper on it. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Now Casa Luna, is that still there, Dan? I mean, I live, like, I can walk to that location from where I live.
Yeah, well, it's been a long time, but it was one of the first ones that was built there.
You know, yeah, no, we used to go there when I was
in Central Park.
We used to go there when I was a kid. We went there all the time when I was a kid, and I mean, I live in that neighborhood now. So, but I just haven't. I don't know if it's there.
That's where I grew up. Yeah, I grew up on Monticello at Irving and Elston.
Oh, sure.
Too,
yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right, Karen. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think it has closed.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But that was a place we went to a lot when I was a kid. So, all right, you ready for some facts about pizza before we play back that ridiculous Blackhawks Express from last night's ridiculous game? The word pizza dates back over 1,000 years. It was first mentioned in Latin text written in southern Italy in 997 CE. See how far back it goes, but they don't say anything about wheel. How about this? In 1835, Alexandre Dumas, who was the author of The Three Musketeers, traveled to Naples, where he observed that Neapolitan poor ate nothing but watermelon during the summer and pizza during the winter. The first pizza place in America was Lombardi's in New York City. It was originally a grocery store. Lombardi's started selling pizza in 1905. So that's why New York City is like, hey, we're the original home of pizza. That's my typical New Yorker. Didn't it sound like we were in New York?
I thought we got on a plane and landed.
Go to Lombardi's. Lombardi's. Pizza, New York.
Yankees.
Oh, man. All right. Okay, we'll take a break. We got more wacky pizza facts celebrating National Pizza Week. And if you want to jump in with a Call or a text, 312-981-7200. Right, here is Scott on WGN. We're talking pizza. Hi, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
All right, what's up?
Hey, so I was raised up in Highwood, a little town up north, a little Italian town, and I always thought I had good pizza all my life. But my girlfriend brought me to a place down in Elmhurst called Roberto's, and I realized I never had good pizza. That's the best pizza I've ever had. The crust is, like, it's flaky. My girlfriend said, she said, I don't know how they get the air into the crust. There's no good pizza in the northern suburbs.
No.
I hate to think it, but there is.
Oh, wow. All right. Scott, thanks, man. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. By the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. All right, we got a bunch of texts here. Let's close it out with them texts, and we'll talk more pizza during the week, too, because it's the whole week. It's National Pizza Week. Fasano's Pizza in Justice, Illinois is great. Let's see. 773 area code says, Bijee's, B-I-G-J-E. At 7455 West Irving Park, classic thin crust, and you get free RC Cola with a pickup. Oh, you got to love the free RC Cola. School bus driver Bill says the fifth quarter in Homewood has great pizza, and it's half price on Tuesdays. Well, today's Tuesday. Get your half-price pizza and celebrate. 630 area code. Chicagoland Pizza is great, but the best pizza town outside of Chicago is Carbondale, Illinois. Quattro's, Fours, and Paglio's. Doug says, my favorite pizza would be thin crust with sausage and hot giardiniera. Have a great day. Thank you. 224 area code. Papa John's has hand-tossed crust. All right. Good for them. 630 area code says, Nick, my wife's cousin is from Germany, says tuna is the number one topping on pizza there. Oh, man. Jeez. We get our pizza at Gianario's in Winfield. It's one of the best in the DuPage County. Um, 815 area code says, out here in Crystal Lake, we have Pinemore, Nick's, and that's Amore. It's all good thin crust. Bill says Martino's on Peterson and Bernard is great. 708 area code says, that's a nice... in Romeoville is great.
Fantastic names for a lot of these places.
I know. That's a nice. I'm a Mario. I really love Italian stereotypes. That's one of my favorites. That's a nice.
They serve a great pizza, too. Italian stereotypes.
They do. I order from there all the time. Italian stereotypes. Joseph in Glendale Heights, deep dish stuffed, great stuff. I used to be a delivery driver for John's on Western. On Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights when they would have less deliveries, they would treat us to a spaghetti dinner. See that? Look, and they're even nice at the place. Not only is it the best thin crust in the city, but they treat their employees well. 224 area code says, I like Boffo's thin crust in Highwood. Been going there for 30 years. I also like St. Louis style pizza. I got to try this St. Louis style pizza. 708 area code says, Armand, several locations, red roasted and jardiniere. Alfredo, oh, this guy should know. Alfredo, in the 70s, a high school friend worked part-time at a local pizza place. He was also somewhat of a gearhead, and he always working on his car. He said, pizza dough was the best thing ever for cleaning car grease from under your fingernails. And then what, you get it in the dough and serve it to people? Dino says, Lonnie's Thin Crust Pizza. 312, the Costco food court has delicious slice for $1.09. I've actually had the Costco pizza, and it's good. Dan, have you ever had the Costco pizza?
I have. It is good.
It's good. 815 area code says, the tough guy is at Sammy's in Kankakee. Okay. Donati's Pizza in Lake Bluff is the best. And then finally, Home Run Inn, even the frozen, is awesome. Yeah, I'm glad we, you know what, we would have been remiss if we didn't mention Home Run Inn. Because it's great pizza all the way around. Great pizza, Home Run Inn. All right, cool. We've got some musicians coming in tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, Greg Woods is coming in.
Greg Woods. We'll talk to him about his latest music. That'll be a lot of fun. But right now we're going to break here because the news is coming up next.